And here I thought that Jeff Hardy swerving all over the road, loaded on Fireball, was going to be the biggest news story of the week. Silly me. You know who's breathing a sigh of relief today? Jeff Hardy. He is breathing a sigh of relief now because he has been relegated to the back page after the events of today. This is your AEW Dynamite review for Wednesday, June 15th, 2022. I am the Solemn Monster. And I am, of course, going to talk about Dynamite because it would be a pretty shitty Dynamite review if I didn't. We're going to get into the whole thing here. We had a wild main event ladder match. New AEW Tag Team Champions, the Young Bucks, become the first ever two-time AEW Tag Team Champions. And Christian Cage, you knew it was coming. I've been talking about it for months. The signs were all there. It was becoming obvious. It was just a matter of when. When are they going to pull the trigger on the heel turn? Tonight, Christian Cage turned on Jungle Boy to close out Dynamite. That was a fitting end to the show. I very much enjoyed that ending to the show. So we had that. We had Jon Moxley and Hiroshi Tanahashi facing off in the ring. Nose to nose, they will meet at Forbidden Door in just 11 days for the Interim AEW World Championship. Anytime we get to see Tanahashi on TV, he doesn't even have to do anything. He's the ace. He's one of the best in the world. All-timer. Hall of Famer. Pay the man respect. And the crowd tonight did just that. So they had a face-to-face in the ring. Will Ospreay and Dax Harwood. I am going to talk about their match a little bit later on as well. Will Ospreay lost in his in-ring AEW debut on Rampage last week. And that still confounds me. There was nothing tonight that makes me look back and go, oh, that's why he lost. Like, no, that was a very strange decision. But he went in there tonight, one-on-one against Dax Harwood. Tag team specialist, Dax Harwood, who is making a case week by week. In my opinion, so far, we're at the halfway point of the year for why he has to be in contention for Wrestler of the Year. The year that this man is putting together in tag team matches and in singles matches is incredible. And the two of them went out tonight and they had the best match on the entire show. That was even better than the main event. So we'll talk about that too. And of course, Toni Storm picks up a huge win tonight as well. She will challenge Thunder Rosa for the AEW Women's Championship at Forbidden Door. We weren't sure if there were going to be any women's matches on the show. Now we know. And Toni Storm will get her shot in Chicago at the United Center. So a lot to unpack. Just from that alone, a lot to unpack. But before I get into any of that, there is breaking news from earlier today that I could, and again, I stress this, it could have huge repercussions for WWE. It's too early to tell. We don't have all the details yet. This is only first coming out, the information we got today. I'm sure in the next few days we're going to hear more about this. There is an ongoing investigation going on within the board of WWE. So who the hell knows what's going to come out in the days and the weeks ahead. But the big story today, and I'm going to have more about this on episode 761 this Sunday. So I'm not going to get into everything here because I do want to get to the AEW stuff as quickly as I can. But just so you know, we'll have a whole analysis on this. We'll talk about any other news that comes out on 761 this Sunday. But for those who don't know, maybe you were out, maybe you were working, maybe you don't live on social media like the rest of us troglodytes, okay? You have a life, you're doing stuff, I get it. Some of you may not even be aware of this, but there was a huge story that broke earlier this afternoon in the Wall Street Journal. Okay, this was not on a wrestling news website, this was not Meltzer, this was not WrestleVotes. This was the Wall Street Journal. Broke a story about Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon, you know, he's got a Netflix documentary on his life or docuseries that's being worked on. He's got a memoir they announced this week that's going to be, or at least it was, going to be timed to drop around WrestleMania 39, a book about the man's life, right? Who knows how these projects may or may not be affected by all of this. But this was not the kind of story Vince McMahon wanted to see in the Wall Street Journal. I'm going to read you from this article here. The board of WWE is investigating a secret $3 million settlement, a hush payment, that longtime chief executive Vince McMahon agreed to pay to a departing employee with whom he allegedly had an affair. This is according to documents and people familiar with the board inquiry. The January 2022 separation agreement bars the now former employee who was hired as a paralegal in 2019 from discussing her relationship with Mr. McMahon or disparaging him. The board investigation, which began in April, has unearthed other older non-disclosure agreements. So I'll put a pause here for a second. Because I saw a lot of comments even in the chat a little bit earlier about this. Well, what's the big deal? Right? Vince McMahon, he was two consenting adults. If he had an extramarital affair, what's the big deal? Blah, blah, blah. And in and of itself, that's not a shocking story. This is Vince McMahon that we're talking about here. Of course, Vince McMahon's been fucking around on the side for years. Of course. He's admitted to infidelities in the past. That's not the issue here. What caught my attention was the fact that there are other non-disclosure agreements. It's like finding out where the bodies are buried. You find one, there might be more. That's where all of a sudden my antenna shot up when I read that. The idea that Vince McMahon would have an affair with somebody is not all that shocking. But they have unearthed other non-disclosure agreements involving claims by former female WWE employees of misconduct by Mr. McMahon and one of his top executives, John Laurinaitis. People power, not penis power. It was supposed to be people power. Apparently, it may have been the other one. The journal could not determine how many previous agreements were being scrutinized. The board's outside counsel was still collecting information about the other NDAs this week, but has determined that the payments totaled in the millions of dollars. The board's preliminary findings were that Mr. McMahon used personal funds to pay the former female employees who signed the agreements, including the one involving allegations against Mr. Laurinaitis. More broadly, the law firm is also assessing WWE's compliance and human resources programs and company culture. Well, good luck with that, the corporate culture in WWE. But that's an important point also. Without getting into all the legalities and everything else, if it comes out that he was paying people out of his own pocket and not out of the company, you know, where he gets into trouble is if it comes out that there was money being paid from WWE. I would like to think he wasn't stupid enough to do that. And the article seems to indicate that any money paid was from his own personal funds. Because if it was from the company, that could be, you know, now you're getting into trouble with maybe the SEC. And that's a whole can of worms. It doesn't sound like that's the case here. But again, it's still early. We don't know. We only have the information that was provided in this one story so far. Board members learned of the $3 million agreement in a series of anonymous emails that they received. Maybe it was the anonymous Raw GM. Anonymous emails they received from someone who said the former WWE paralegal was a friend. The first email, sent to board members on March 30th, alleged that Mr. McMahon initially hired the woman at a salary of $100,000, but increased it to $200,000, beginning a sexual relationship with her. The email to the board also alleged that Mr. McMahon gave her like a toy to Mr. Laurinaitis. I don't even want to know what that means. The board is investigating the allegations in the email. My friend, and this is what the email said, my friend was so scared, so she quit after Vince McMahon and lawyer Jerry McDevitt paid her millions of dollars to shut up, the initial email to the board said, referring to Mr. McMahon's longtime lawyer, who negotiated the deal, according to people familiar with the board inquiry. And this is the last little bit I'm not reading the whole thing. This is the last little bit I'll read. The directors received a copy of the $3 million agreement from one of Mr. McMahon's lawyers on June 12th. One person familiar with the inquiry said, the non-disclosure agreement provided an upfront payment of $1 million to the former employee, with the remaining $2 million to be doled out over a period of 5 years. Again, according to people familiar with the matter. You know, the most interesting part about all this is that somebody leaked this. Somebody on the board leaked this. Now, I don't know offhand how many members there are on the board. Again, I'll look into this more as the week goes on and we'll get more information. But there are family members on the board. Triple H is on the board. Stephanie McMahon is on the board. Even after she excused herself, took a leave of absence from her responsibilities, she is still on the board. Nick Khan is on the board. In a hypothetical situation, if Vince McMahon was to step aside in a situation like this, guess who would really end up in his spot, at least temporarily, and would be kind of the head cheese in this company? It probably would be Nick Khan. So what I'm most interested in finding out, and we may never know, but I would love to know who leaked this information to the Wall Street Journal. And as far as, you know, Stephanie McMahon is concerned, there's been a lot of questions about her. What did she know? She had to have known. She's on the board. This investigation's been going on now for a couple of months. And it just so happened that last month she decided to step aside to focus on her family. Does one have to do with the other? That's quite the coincidence. We don't know, but I don't see how she could not have known about this. What role might that have played in her decision to step aside? We don't know. We don't have all the answers yet. It's a messy situation. I honestly don't give a shit if Vince McMahon wants to go and have fucking affairs with people. If you have two consenting adults, you know, it's a weird marriage with him and Linda. It's almost like a Bill and Hillary Clinton kind of thing where they're married, but are they really? You know, it was pointed out, you know, somebody mentioned to me the fact that if you think back to Vince's interview with Pat McAfee on his show back in March before WrestleMania, he didn't have his wedding ring on, and he had that little slip in the interview. He was talking about his life, and he mentioned Linda, and he said something to the effect of my wife at the time, and then he caught himself. And it was like a quick little subtle thing, but who the hell knows what kind of relationship they have? Who the hell knows if they even live in the same place? They may not even live in the same state at this point. I don't even care about that. This stuff about other NDAs being uncovered and stuff with Laurinaitis, and there's always been murmurs about him and, you know, the perverted bosses in WWE. Yes, I saw the Nia Jax tweet from many months ago. People are kind of digging that back up. But she's not the only one who's made comments about this kind of thing before. That's where things could get very messy. But nobody really knows exactly where this is going to go. People are saying, oh, is this going to be the end of Vince and WWE? Vince McMahon for years has been Teflon. And by the way, this is not the only time that, you know, his name has been wrapped up in some kind of sordid sexual situation. He got first accused of rape back in 1986. There was another incident back in 2006 where he was accused at a tanning bed. Now, that didn't go anywhere. But wouldn't be the first time his name was wrapped up in a situation like this. But this, you know, you start getting into non-disclosure agreements and payments, you know, hush money to keep this on the down low. You know, you start digging around. There's no telling what they're liable to find. Vince McMahon has been Teflon for so many years. The idea that something like this would sink him is almost unfathomable. But you know what? In today's day and age, depending on how much more of this shit comes out, you never know. I'll say one thing, though. I'd be shocked if John Laurinaitis was still part of this company in the next few months. If anybody's going to be the fall guy here, it ain't going to be Vince McMahon. It's going to be Johnny Ace.
It wasn't my fault. I'll fall on the sword for the team. People power, penis power.
Anyway, we'll see where that goes. We'll see where that goes. But that, to me, is what I find most interesting. Who leaked this information? What else are they going to find? Depending on what they find, you know, this is a company that, again, has multi-million dollar agreements with major media entities, whether it's with NBC Universal, Fox. I mean, if this gets messy enough, the axe might have to fall on somebody, but I would still be shocked if it fell on Vince himself. You know, it's plenty of situations where you can envision, well, what might happen? Oh, you know, can you imagine? Honestly, I can't. Think of all the other shit he's gotten away with for so many years. But this is not good. I say that as a PR person. This is not the kind of PR that you want for your company. This is the worst kind of PR that you can want for your company. And I am seeing these rumors and these murmurs about a sale, and the company may have already, you know, they may already have an agreement to sell. I don't know where this is coming from. I don't know how legitimate that is. But I think that nothing would shock me at this point. I mean, I've been saying for the last few years, this is a company that's being primed for a sale. Is it going to happen imminently? How might this situation affect that? Who would want to get into bed with these people? So that's what we know so far. I'm going to have a lot more to say on this. I don't want to take up too much more time on this, but that is the situation with Vince McMahon, John Laurinaitis. There is an ongoing investigation. Stay tuned, because I'm sure we have not heard the last of this. Hit that like button. Super chats are open. I'm going to do my best to answer whatever questions. I know you guys probably have questions and comments about that story, whether it's the Vince McMahon stuff, the Jeff Hardy stuff, or tonight's show, Forbidden Door. You have questions. You have anything you want to share with me and support the channel, you can drop a super chat. And there's a new $40 one in there, too. The Shanky Shuffle. I think you might like that one if anybody wants to chime in with that. But I will read all your super chats and try to answer your questions a little bit later on. Taylor Cannon, he is a Sound Off legend. He joined as a brand new channel member. I want to thank Taylor. I also want to thank Viviana, Lee Moo, and Markel, who all re-upped in the last few days. Markel's been a member now for 14 months. Holy shit, Markel. Shout out to him. I was just talking to him on Facebook yesterday. So let's get into this Dynamite show, because again, there was a lot that happened. There's always too much that happens on these Dynamite shows. And poor Excalibur, I've talked about him before, trying to fit all of his announcements in. Even in the main event tonight, there's a ladder match going on for the AEW Tag Team titles. And Excalibur is getting this information in his ear. I'm just being told that Thunder Rosa will defend her championship against Toni Storm. And they put a little graphic on the screen. Oh, I'm just being told Will Ospreay is going to take on Orange Cassidy. Meanwhile, fucking Luchasaurus is flying through the air 20 feet down through 16 tables. There's just so much going on that it's easy to miss a lot of this stuff. And I'm sure I missed some stuff as well. Dynamite open with Chris Jericho one-on-one against Ortiz. I can't roll my R's. Every time I try to roll my R's, I don't do a good job. Ortiz. Hair versus hair. This was a hot opener. This was a hot match. Hotter than I thought it would be to open the show. The crowd was into it. Jericho avoided a corkscrew splash. He had a code breaker for a near fall. Jericho reversed a hurricanrana into the walls of Jericho. Ortiz, though, he fought, made it to the ropes. Angelo Parker got involved, so Eddie Kingston attacked. And now here comes Santana. Here comes Wheeler Yuta. They ran down. A giant brawl breaks out at ringside with the Jericho crew and the babyfaces. Inside the ring, the referee is distracted by all the fighting that was going on outside the ring. Eddie Kingston slides into the ring, and he catches Jericho with the spinning back fist. Now the crowd came alive because they thought we were going to get bald Jericho. Somebody on my timeline pointed out that Jericho had a bald spot that they noticed last week. And so Jericho surely must be getting his hair cut this week because he has a bald spot in the back of his head. Guy's 50 years old. I mean, that's to be expected. But they thought, well, that's a surefire sign that we're going to get bald Jericho. I said last week, we're going to get bald Ortiz, which is exactly what happened here. But this was a great near fall because they even had me. They even had me. And so Ortiz crawls over on top of Jericho in the crowd. They can't wait to see this guy lose. They can't wait to see Chris Jericho get his head shaved. And the referee comes over and Jericho gets a shoulder up at the last possible second. That was a fantastic near fall. Jake Hager tried to get involved, but the distraction allowed Fuego del Sol, or who we thought was, who was supposed to be Fuego del Sol, run in. He had Floyd the baseball bat, and he strikes Ortiz with it. That gives Jericho the win. Chris Jericho avoids the haircut, and poor Ortiz, he's going bald. After the match, Fuego unmasked and revealed himself not to be Fuego, but to be Sammy Guevara. Sammy Guevara is back with Chris Jericho and Jake Hager. It's not the Inner Circle anymore, but he's back with his boys. Sammy has come home. I think that, and by the way, that's with Ty Conti as well. She was not here. She came out later on when these guys came back out. But Sammy and Ty, they're still an item on screen. They are now with the Jericho Appreciation Society. I think that it is a good move, but it is bittersweet. Especially if you're a Sammy Guevara fan, this is a big step back for him. Because all it is, it's Sammy going back to doing the same shit that he was doing before. Where now he's going to be linked with Jericho. He's going to be subservient to Jericho. He's one guy in a group taking orders from Chris Jericho. He's gone right back to the spot that he was in before. So it is a step back for him. But it was the only thing for them to do. The people rejected the babyface turn. He and Ty Conti were so obnoxious on TV, and people just turned against them. When they found out about the relationship between the two of them, they turned against them. And so they got more and more obnoxious on TV. They leaned into it, which I thought was the smart move. You know, it's a futile effort to fight it. Just embrace it. And so the babyface turn was a failure. It didn't work. The TNT title program that Sammy was locked in for months with Scorpio Sky and American Top Team, it did tremendous damage to him. Sammy has been a non-factor now for the last few months. This might actually help put him back in the spotlight a little bit, which sounds weird. Now he's part of a group that has like six guys in it, but I think for now, for the time being, this was the right move to make. It's probably the move that I would have made. Because they tried the other way and the people turned against it. The other way just didn't work. And it's too bad because I still feel that Sammy could be and could have been a huge babyface on the AEW roster. But now is not that time. So it is a step back, but I do think it's the right move to make for now. They had some guy out there who was going to be the barber. Could have paid a phone call to old Brutus the Barber Beefcake. He's always looking for a payday, but I don't know. Maybe he wasn't available. Maybe he was hanging out down at Hogan's Beat Shop or whatever he's running down there now. Hogan's got like a whole bunch of different places. I thought he and Brutus made up, but I don't really, I haven't seen them together in probably a few years. I don't know. Maybe they made up and they had a falling out again. I don't know. They used to be bosom buddies. Wherever you would see one, you would see the other. So they had some random guy who was going to be the barber. Ortiz refused to let this person cut his hair. He took the clippers and he started shaving his own head. He's like, fuck it, I'm going to do it myself. He's cutting the hair off. He's got the trimmer. He's running it down his skull. He cut himself on top of his head. So all of a sudden, blood's starting to come down his forehead. Eddie Kingston is in the ring. He's got a microphone. And Kingston gives Ortiz a mic. And Ortiz, as he is cutting his hair and shaving his head and blood is coming down, he starts shouting, blood and guts, blood and guts, blood and guts. Just the visual of this guy. He looked whacked out of his mind. He's shaving his head. He's screaming blood and guts. He's got blood on his head. I've seen people like this out on the streets of New York City. This is commonplace here in New York. But usually they would take somebody like this and they would probably, you know, bring him to some kind of a facility, some kind of a shelter before they get back out on the street. Ortiz looked, he looked crazed. But I thought it made for a great visual here. So this was a hot opener. We had Wardlow taking on 20 security geeks. This was the class action handicap match. I guess they weren't security geeks. They were the plaintiffs. This is part of the Smart Mark Sterling storyline where Wardlow has beaten up so many security guards now for months in the buildup to his match with MJF at Double or Nothing that after Double or Nothing, Mark Sterling said that they were filing a class action lawsuit against him. And I thought, well, is this the best they have for Wardlow? Unfortunately, the answer was yes, although they are moving him into a TNT title program. Let's hope it goes better for him than it did for Sammy Guevara. So the rules of this were that only one of them has to beat Wardlow. So it's 20 against one. It only takes one security geek to beat Wardlow, but Wardlow has to beat each and every single one of them. It's an elimination match. He has to go through all 20 men in order to win the match. They were all dressed in black, plain black staff t-shirts. Wardlow swatted about four of them off the apron right at the very beginning when they all climbed up on the apron to start the match. And Dasha, who was doing the ring announcing tonight for Justin Roberts, he swats these guys off the apron. I don't even remember if they ever got into the ring. I think they just climbed up onto the apron. He knocked about four of them down on the floor. All of a sudden, Dasha's on the mic, and she's saying that they're eliminated. Just like that. I said, oh, the announcers were confused. They didn't even know all the rules of the match as far as how do these eliminations happen. Is it over the top rope? Is it pinfall and submission only? Even the announcers were confused. When your own announcers don't know the rules, that's a problem. They should have done a better job of explaining this before the match actually started. And maybe they did that in-house, but they sure didn't do that on commentary. Wardlow powerbombed another security guy onto the pile outside. He submitted and pinned two simultaneously. Then he used those two to pin two more. He was using a bitch to pin a bitch. I mean, this guy, he can do it all. He can powerbomb people out of the ring. He can powerbomb people onto each other and stack them up. He can take one guy and swing him into another guy and use him as a weapon. Anyway, this went on for a while. He was powerbombing people left and right. The final plaintiff, they tried a crossbody off the top. Wardlow caught him, powerbombed him. When the match was over, Dasha announced that all plaintiffs have been eliminated. This case is dismissed. You know, it's generally fun to see Wardlow powerbomb people. I mean, it's fun. It's fun to see Wardlow powerbomb guys. He must have doled out 25 powerbombs here in this match. But I thought this was pretty dumb. There was no drama here. Again, the rules, it was a little confusing at first, and then it's like, okay, now he's just going to powerbomb guys left and right. We've seen him do this for months. I mean, now they were all in the ring at once, but for months he's been powerbombing security guys. These are nameless, faceless security guards. We don't know who these people are. Mark Sterling's on the outside. Of course, he's freaking out, but there's no drama here. So I thought this was dumb. Wardlow grabbed Smart Mark after the match. He threw him into the ring, but before he could do anything, we heard Dan Lambert's voice. And Dan Lambert was up in the skybox with Scorpio Sky, the TNT champion. And Lambert warned Wardlow, hey, you never know who might be hanging out in the crowd or in the front row. We might have some UFC guys here. And the camera focused in on UFC Hall of Famer Matt Hughes and former UFC welterweight champion Tyrone Woodley, who got the go sign from Dan Lambert to get up and go after Wardlow. So they get up from their seats, they're coming into the ring, Wardlow gets on the mic, and he looks at them across the ring and he says he thinks that they're smarter than taking orders from some rich asshole like Dan Lambert. He said he's like them. You guys are from St. Louis, right? I'm a hardworking Midwesterner. He's trying to relate to them. Because we're cut from the same cloth. So as he's trying to convince them to do the right thing, Hughes and Woodley, they grab Mark Sterling and they feed him. They feed him to the lions. They throw him to Wardlow. And Wardlow gave him a powerbomb and then he posed with Hughes and Woodley to end the segment. Now Matt Hughes looked rough during this segment. And I saw people making fun of him online. He's moving so slow. Was he old or, you know, what's wrong with him or whatever? For those who don't know, and I remember this because this was just a crazy-ass story when I first heard about it about 5 years ago. For those who don't know, Matt Hughes, what happened is I think it was back in 2017. He was in his pickup truck. And he was driving, I don't know what state or exactly where he was, but I guess the signs weren't clear for the railroad crossing, whatever it was. A train slammed into his truck on the passenger side. Full on. A fucking train. And he suffered a traumatic brain injury in that accident. He was in a coma for a while, for a few weeks. And all things considered, he's made a miraculous recovery, but he still had a very serious brain injury. And that's not something that you're going to really recover from. So if he looked rough, if he looked unsteady on his feet, or, you know, some people say, oh, he looks drunk. No, it's because a fucking train slammed into his truck and he has a brain injury. So for those wondering why he was kind of moving around like that and acting a little strange, that would be why. He's lucky to be alive. Now, he's had other issues in recent years. I think since the accident, he's been, I don't know if he's been charged or, you know, arrested or whatever for domestic violence. You know, you can, there's never an excuse for that, but I think you could definitely draw a correlation between the fact that he had this traumatic brain injury and all of a sudden his behavior, he's turned very violent in recent years. But that's the story on Matt Hughes. Then we had Dax Harwood. Dax the Axe going one-on-one with the new IWGP United States Champion, one Will Ospreay. They call it now Excalibur on commentary at one point. He referred to this as a dream match. Now, I enjoyed this match a lot. But again, that whole dream match thing gets thrown around way too much. I don't know that anybody coming into the show would have considered Dax Harwood and Will Ospreay, great as they are, to necessarily be a dream match. I'm of the opinion that if you're going to call something a dream match, it really should be a dream match. It should be a match that people thought, man, I wish I could see that, but we may never get to see it. And then one day you do, right? Stone Cold coming back at WrestleMania. I had already given up on the idea that that would ever happen. So for me, any kind of Stone Cold Steve Austin main event return match at WrestleMania, that's a dream match. It almost doesn't even matter who he was in the ring with. You know, Tanahashi and Moxley. Some people might call that a dream match. If Okada ever steps in the ring with Bryan Danielson, that would be a dream match for me. Right? Kurt Angle against Bret Hart, that would have been the ultimate dream match for me. So, I don't know. Maybe my standards are a little bit higher, but I feel like people throw that around so much now. What does it really mean? You could just use that for any match that we've never seen before. I mean, really, fucking, you know, the Doudrop against the Bertha Faye. Well, what a dream match. Bertha Faye's not alive anymore. That would be the ultimate dream. But anyway, not a big deal. But when I heard him say that, it just made me think, boy, you talk about things that get thrown around that really shouldn't be used all that much. But anyway, this was my favorite thing on the entire show. This was an excellent, excellent match. No surprise, Will Ospreay is one of the best in the world. Dax Harwood is proving to people this entire year that he is one of the very best in the world at what he does. You put those two in the ring together and you get what we got tonight. Now, I said that Ospreay was the IWGP US champion. He beat Sonata at Dominion this past weekend to win the title that Juice Robinson had to vacate. Juice had a bout of appendicitis recently. He was not able to compete. New Japan don't fuck around. They don't wait. They strip you of that title. Just like they did with Moxley years ago. Moxley couldn't make it to Japan because they had some kind of, I think it was like a typhoon or something. And I believe they stripped him of the belt, if I'm not mistaken. Didn't they? I think they stripped him. They had stripped Sonata of the title earlier this year, I think back in April. He had an orbital injury, didn't know when he might be back, and he had to surrender the U.S. title. That title has not had a great track record recently. So Ospreay just won it at Dominion this past weekend, and he did not have the physical title with him because it is still in the possession of Juice Robinson. However, much as he did on Rampage last Friday, when Ospreay came out to the ring, he had his Rev Pro heavyweight title around his waist. And at least this time, Excalibur actually mentioned it, which he did not do on the show last week. Maybe he did it during the commercial on the Fight TV feed, but he didn't make reference to it last week. So if you have no idea what Rev Pro is, you see Will Ospreay, you would maybe just assume it's a New Japan title. So he comes out tonight, and Ospreay is wearing the Rev Pro heavyweight title. As Excalibur explains to us, that this guy just won the IWGP US title this weekend. You know, I was just talking about this last week when they introduced the All-Atlantic Championship. We were having a discussion about that on the stream, and I talked about it again on episode 760 of the Sound Off on Sunday. There are a lot of titles, too many titles in AEW right now. There are too many titles on AEW television right now. They're not even all AEW titles, but there are so many of them that we see and that are referenced on TV. I was just talking about this last week. This fucking guy is coming to the ring with another promo. We're already talking AEW, Ring of Honor, New Japan. Now he's coming down with a Rev Pro title. At the same time, they're talking about the fact that he just won the IWGP US title, right? He's in the ring wrestling one half of the Ring of Honor tag team champions, who also just so happens to be one half of the AAA tag team titles. And later tonight on this show, Jon Moxley and Hiroshi Tanahashi are going to go face-to-face ahead of their interim AEW World title match at Forbidden Door. Miro is going to wrestle Ethan Page in a qualifying match for the brand new All-Atlantic Championship. Jurassic Express is going to defend the AEW tag team titles in the main event against the Young Bucks. Are you following me? Are you still with me? We also had an appearance on this show by Jeff Cobb and Great O'Conn, who are the new IWGP tag team champions. Thunder Rosa came out to hold up her AEW Women's Championship, which she's going to defend against Toni Storm at Forbidden Door. Jade Cargill is having an open challenge on Friday for the TBS title. You're going to tell me there aren't too many titles on television right now? I didn't even mention all the other belts. The Owen Hart titles that are not really defended, but the Owen Hart belts, the FTW belt. It's just, it's too much. It's too much. So, we had dueling chants for both men to begin this match. In case you were wondering, would the crowd care about Dax Harwood against Will Ospreay, who's only making his third appearance on television? The answer is a resounding yes, they would. These people knew exactly who these men were, and they were very happy to see them. They got a standing ovation before they even touched. The one critique I would have... I knew I forgot one. Manny, I knew I forgot one. I forgot to mention the IWGP. Jay White came out with the IWGP title. How could I forget the IWGP belt, also on this same show? The only critique I would have of this match, I would have shaved two or three near falls off. There were some great near falls in this match. One too many. One too many. I would have shaved a couple of them off. But that would be my only critique of this match. After a commercial break, Dax hit a series of German suplexes. He followed that with a release German, and Will Ospreay took this ridiculous bump. He almost broke his neck. A guy with neck problems, by the way. Not too bright. Ospreay rolled out of the way of a diving headbutt, landed a springboard 450 splash for two. Ospreay went up top. Dax Harwood cut him off, though, with chops. Went for an avalanche back suplex. Ospreay, though, countered that into a crossbody for two. The old Shawn Michaels British Bulldog finish to their Saturday night's main event match when Shawn won his first IC title. Ospreay landed a diving forearm to the back of Dax's head for two. Then he called for the Os Cutter. But on his way off the ropes as he springboarded off, he got caught. Dax went for a rebound powerbomb. Ospreay fought out of it. Dax recovered, countered another Os Cutter attempt, and hit the sit-out powerbomb for two. Now these guys, they're butting heads. They're trading forearms. Dax gets the better of the exchange, nails Ospreay with a lariat. Ospreay comes back with a Liger bomb for a near fall. Finally, he's able to hit the Os Cutter, and he gets a great near fall out of that. Ospreay then finished him off finally with the Hidden Blade for the win. After the match was over, Aussie Open, they came down. Great O'Conn, Jeff Cobb, again, the brand new IWGP Tag Team Champions. They won the belts back at Dominion. They came out. They attacked Dax. Cash Wheeler came out to make the save. Roppongi Vice. That's Rocky Romero and Trent Beretta. They came out as well. And then we hear the music of Orange Cassidy. We heard the Pixies. Out comes OC. Now, we've seen him make sporadic appearances in the corner outside the ring on TV in the last few months. He has not wrestled since February, or I guess it would be the beginning of March, the Revolution pay-per-view. He got hurt in the ladder match, the face of the Revolution ladder match. I think it was a bad concussion. So he's been out for 3 months, 3.5 months. He was back tonight, got a nice response from the crowd, and he came down to the ring. He ended up going face-to-face with Will Ospreay. Face-to-face, nose-to-nose. All of a sudden, Trent, Rocky, FTR, they appear behind Orange Cassidy. They're all shoulder-to-shoulder. And Ospreay says, I'm out of here. He bails out of the ring to join his United Empire buddies on the outside. We already know how good Will Ospreay is. I said that earlier. But tonight, it was Dax Harwood. It was Dax Harwood. We need to talk about Dax Harwood and the year that this man is having. Like I said earlier, got to be in the conversation right now for Wrestler of the Year. Everybody grades Wrestler of the Year differently. It's a subjective thing. If Wrestler of the Year to you is just purely box office, then yeah, Dax Harwood is not going to be on that list. He's not going to be in the top five, probably not even in the top 10. Although FTR is having a hell of a year. FTR has become, you know, the greatest tag team or top three greatest tag teams in the world this year. But he went out there tonight. You look at the body of work that he's put together so far this year. The Briscoes. When this year is over, that match at the Ring of Honor show with the Briscoes is going to go down as a match of the year contender. The match with the Young Bucks on Dynamite will also be in that conversation. Then you look at the singles matches that he's had. The Owen Hart tournament match with Cash Wheeler. The Dynamite match against CM Punk. And now tonight against Will Ospreay. Look at the body of work just in the last few months. All of these matches, I believe, only happened in the last two or three months. It's incredible. And I'm so happy he's been able to go out there and prove to people what he can do. Nobody looked at Dax Harwood before as some great singles wrestler. You know, he's a tag team guy. You know, he's not much to look at. He even pokes fun at his own physique on social media. He admits, look, I'm not much to look at. I don't understand why you people like me so much and support me, but I'm grateful for it. He's very humble about that. When he goes in the ring and the bell rings, this guy can fucking go. And tonight, he went out there and had the best match of the night with Will Ospreay. So I was a huge fan of this match. I love this match. And honestly, I thought this was the perfect appetizer for the main course that is coming at Forbidden Door. So if you wanted a taste of what it would be like to get an AEW star in the ring with a New Japan star one-on-one and see what they can do and see what kind of reaction it would get from the crowd, what kind of match they can have, I wish they could all be like this. If we have an entire card of this on June 26th, it's going to be one of the best shows all year. Tremendous match with these two guys tonight. Now, I still think it was ridiculous to beat Ospreay on Rampage last week when they did, but we're going to get a trios match on TV next week. It's going to be Ospreay and Aussie Open taking on Roppongi Vice and Orange Cassidy. And it is official. They made the announcement. It was during the main event. Excalibur tried to squeeze it in, but they did make the announcement in the main event that it was going to be at Forbidden Door one-on-one. It's going to be Will Ospreay against Orange Cassidy. It is now official. Now, that is not the match that I would have done with Will Ospreay. I can name a whole bunch of different people I would have rather have seen him go one-on-one with on this show. Orange Cassidy would not have been on my list, but that's the match. You know what? I think it's going to be a good match. I actually think that could end up being a lot of fun. I know some people, they hate the whole Orange Cassidy gimmick. They hate the shtick. They don't get it. They think it's just comedy and nothing else. You know, the guy can work his ass off. He is still one of the most popular baby faces in the entire company. So him going in there in the United Center, in this packed United Center against Will Ospreay, these two guys could go out there and tear the house down. I think that match will end up being a lot of fun. And now, a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Yeah, I got a nice email the other day from one of our regulars. I don't know if he wants me to share his name, so we'll just call him Ted. who said, "Thanks again for telling me about BetterHelp. Thanks in part to your recommendation, I'm slowly but surely getting back on track." And I've gotten a few emails like that since I started talking about BetterHelp on here, and I love hearing that. It's not a matter of can online therapy help people. BetterHelp is already helping people. Burnout is one problem that affects a lot of people. Especially these days with everything going on in the world, it's very easy for people to get burned out. It can be crippling. You know, for me, it's working too much and not taking enough time for myself. That lack of energy or motivation, it's awful. I end up wasting time, and it's the thing that I hate the most, is wasting time. Never feels like there's enough of it. BetterHelp Online Therapy wants to remind you to prioritize yourself for a change. Talking with somebody can help you figure out what's causing stress in your life. Sometimes you just need somebody that you can talk to about these things. And that's why I think it's worth it for you to give therapy a chance. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist so that you don't have to see anybody on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. Right now, Sound Off listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/solomonster. That's betterhelp.com/solomonster. Use the link, take the plunge, drop me a note to let me know about your experience. No one experience is the same. Always remember that. No one experience is the same. But in my own experience, and I know for some of you, it's been a positive. BetterHelp.com/solomonster. Then we had John Moxley. He was out next for the face-to-face in the ring with his opponent at Forbidden Door, the ace of New Japan. Former IWGP heavyweight champion Hiroshi Tanahashi, who beat Hirooki Goto at Dominion this weekend to earn his spot in the interim AEW title match at Forbidden Door. I'm seeing all these posts in the chat. The chat is going by way too quickly for me, but I'm seeing all these different posts about Sasha Banks and stuff. Don't tell me there's more news. Do I have to check this now really quick here to see if there's even more news that is being reported? I don't see anything right now. I'll have to check all of this out when we're done here. I feel, you know, it's the wrestling news. You know, it's great if you're a content creator because then you have no shortage of things to talk about. But I feel like the amount of news that we've had just in the last few months is ridiculous when you think how crazy this fucking year has been. And we're only at the halfway point. Today's June 15th. We are literally at the halfway point of the year. Half of 2022 is gone. Look at what has happened in the first half. What the hell is going to happen in the second half? I'm afraid to ask. Look at what's happened this week alone. We had Tanahashi and we had Moxley in the ring. Both guys got full entrances. They got a holy shit chant before Moxley even said a word. Moxley said that he has been chasing Tanahashi for a very long time, and now he's here. And he said that from day one in New Japan, it's always been about Tanahashi. He said, "There's only one man they call Ace, and that's you, but not for long." Moxley called himself the best wrestler on the planet. He said a lot of people just pretend to be, but he lives it every day. He's the real deal. He said there's more on the line at Forbidden Door than just the AEW Championship. When the dust settles at Forbidden Door, you are going to call me Ace. All of a sudden, Judas begins playing. Chris Jericho comes back out, flanked by Sammy Guevara and Ty Conti. Sammy was still in his Fuego del Sol pants. At least he wasn't wearing the mask anymore. Jericho threatened to burn Moxley's face with a fireball because he's a wizard. And he said that he should be the one in the interim title match at Forbidden Door. He wasn't there last week. He was on a family vacation. But he feels that he should be the one challenging for the championship. He was, after all, the first AEW champion. Jericho pointed out that he beat Tanahashi at the Tokyo Dome years ago. And Tanahashi said the only thing that he said this entire segment. He said, "Jericho, shut up." And that's all he needed to say. His English is not great. But people understood what he said there. He said, "Shut up," and people cheered. Jericho called for the rest of the Jericho Appreciation Society to come out and attack. All of a sudden, El Desperado and Lance Archer of Suzuki Goon, which Tony Schiavone referred to as Suzuki Soon. He doesn't fucking know what it is. You think Tony Schiavone knows what Suzuki Goon is? So they attack from behind. They attack Moxley. They attack Tanahashi. Jericho introduced Sammy and Ty as the newest members of the Jericho Appreciation Society, because now they're all in the ring, and they start making out. Sammy and Ty, not Sammy and Jericho. That's a very different show. Jericho said that the Suzuki Goon members were on loan from Minoru Suzuki, Murder Grandpa, who was going to team with Jericho at Forbidden Door alongside Sammy Guevara in a trios match against Wheeler Yuta, Shota Umino, and Eddie Kingston. Shota! Moxley's young boy. Going to be at Forbidden Door. The son of Red Shoes. Red Shoes Uno. Kingston, Yuta, and Santana and Ortiz, they ran out. They cleared house. Tanahashi hit Desperado with the sling blade, and then he and Moxley faced off to end the segment. It's cool to see Tanahashi on TV. You know, any of the big New Japan names. You know, New Japan does not have a real weekly presence in this country in the way the WWE does and AEW does. New Japan does not have episodic weekly television in the same way as WWE and AEW does. And so to see him or to see a Jay White, and Jay White was on Impact for a while, you know, himself, Ospreay, if Naito was to show up, or Okada or anybody like that, you know, again, you're not used to seeing these guys on these shows. So it feels special, and I thought that it was really cool to see Tanahashi back out there on TV tonight. But it turned into a mess. You know, we had Archer and Desperado come out and attack them from behind. They're randomly running out and attacking them, seemingly randomly, and then Jericho and his goons come back out. We already saw them once earlier in the show. Now they're coming back out again. The focus here should have been more on the main event at Forbidden Door. Moxley got his shit in. He said his piece. Again, maybe they felt Tanahashi isn't going to really be able to say much. You know, English is not his first language. He's not going to go out there and cut this impassioned promo in English in the way that Moxley did. And they felt like we need more. So let's just consolidate this into one segment here. But I felt like it really took some of the focus away from the main event. That's the biggest match on the show. You know, it's your main event at Forbidden Door. It's Moxley. It's Tanahashi. One-on-one. First time ever. AEW interim title match. And instead, you know, they're getting jumped by fucking El Desperado. I mean, what the fuck? So I thought it took away from that a little bit. But, you know, look, we're going to get a trios match. Now we know what Jericho and Eddie Kingston and Minoru Suzuki are going to be doing on that show. Hey, Suzuki will be there. And I don't mind it. You know, those, I mean, you think about who's in that match, right? Jericho, Eddie, Wheeler Yuta. There really were no big major singles dream matches. There's that word again. That I had on my personal list for what I wanted to see on this show that involved any of those guys. So I expected them to be part of a tag match in some way. And then, so this is the tag match that we're going to get. I think that's fine. But I just wish it wouldn't have, you know, taken away from the focus of what this should have been about, which is Moxley and Tanahashi. We had Miro against Ethan Page in a qualifying match in the All-Atlantic Championship Tournament. Miro played total babyface here in this match. He fired up, hit multiple overhead throws before landing his running leg kick. He called for the game-over submission, but Dan Lambert hopped up on the apron. Miro handed him his ass. He caught Ethan Page with a thrust kick, locked on the game over for the submission. And so Pac and Miro have now advanced to the four-way that we are going to get at Forbidden Door. The Forbidden Four. For the All-Atlantic Championship, Pac and Miro have already qualified for the match. We already know it's going to be a great match just with those two in there. We don't even know who the other two are going to be yet. On TV next week, it's going to be Malakai Black taking on Penta Oscuro. We already know who it's going to be. We actually do already know who it's going to be, even though the match hasn't happened yet, because Penta and Rey Fénix are not going to be at Forbidden Door. It's kind of like where every year when Saudi Arabia comes up, you know, two people you're never going to see on those shows are Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, because they just don't go over there. We know that Penta and Rey Fénix and Andrade will not be at Forbidden Door. And the reason that they will not be at Forbidden Door, they are forbidden from the Forbidden Door, has to do with politics. It has to do with the fact that they are connected to AAA. New Japan has had a long-standing partnership and friendship with CMLL. CMLL and AAA, they don't like each other. There's like oil and water. They don't mix. So it's a very political thing. You don't want to ruffle the wrong feathers. And so they have been told that they will not be on that show. And so we know Penta won't be there. Gee, I wonder who's going to win the match next week. It's going to be Malachi. I figured Malachi was going to win. Malachi should not be losing that match anyway. So Malachi Black is going to be going to Forbidden Door. The other spot in the match is going to be determined by a couple of matches that are taking place in New Japan, I believe, this weekend. This weekend. It's going to go to a New Japan star. And the way that they're going to work this out is the June 20th New Japan show at Korakuen Hall is going to have a match between Tomohiro Ishii and Yoshinobu Kanemaru. And there's going to be a match between Tomoyaki Honma and Clark Connors. So there's two different matches that are going to be taking place. The winners of those two matches will wrestle the very next night, with a winner of that joining the four-way at Forbidden Door. To me, you know, it's gotta be Ishii. It's gotta be the Stone Pitbull. You gotta have Ishii on the show. Ishii is the, when I saw that they were leaving it open for a New Japan person, the first person I thought of was Ishii. Then I saw that he was in one of the qualifying matches. I said, well, there you go. We don't want fucking Honma in the match. Clark Connors, he's a talented guy. I mean, there's always an outside shot. It could be him, I guess, but come on. With Ishii in the mix, I don't want Clark Connors. I don't want Honma. I don't want Kanemaru. It's got to be Ishii. So that's the match that we're probably going to end up with at the pay-per-view. It's going to be Miro. It's going to be Pac. It's going to be Malachi Black. And it's going to be Tomohiro Ishii for the All-Atlantic Championship. Fuck yes. That's a fucking match. You want to get me excited for this Forbidden Door show? AEW, New Japan. You put those four guys in the ring, I still say too many titles, but we're getting a hell of a match. And I still think Miro has got to be the favorite. But we are getting a hell of a match. I don't even care who wins. Doesn't even matter to me who wins. That's going to be a fantastic match. We had Toni Storm against Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. Early distraction from Rebel provided the opening that Britt needed to attack Tony. And Tony fought back. Rebel was getting involved here. She distracted the referee. That allowed Jamie Hayter to sweep the legs of Toni Storm. Out comes Thunder Rosa, the AEW Women's Champion. She chases Jamie Hayter to the back. So they come back from break. Toni Storm hits a tornado DDT. I think two of them, actually. One to the floor. And Britt Baker wanted the glove from Rebel. Storm cut her off with a German suplex, followed that up with a very stiff-looking hip attack in the corner. I mean, she wrecked her in that corner with that hip attack. And it looked like she was hurt. It looked like Britt Baker was legit injured. She was very loopy. Tony went to go grab her out of the corner, and Britt kind of shoved her away. The referee's getting in there, Paul Turner, to check on her. She pulls her out of the corner finally. Britt, you know, there was one move and Britt basically collapsed back on the mat. Paul Turner again is over to check on her, and Toni Storm is just standing by. They had me convinced. But Toni Storm comes over, and then we find out that it was all a ruse. Britt Baker rolled up Toni Storm, only got two. So she was fine. She did a hell of a job of convincing me that she was hurt. Baker put the glove on. Storm, though, had the lockjaw scouted, hit a German suplex, followed by the Storm Zero for the win. 1-2-3, Toni Storm picks up the biggest win of her brief, so far brief, AEW career over Britt Baker here on the show. Thunder Rosa did come back out. She was down the aisleway holding up the AEW Women's Championship, staring at Toni Storm. Toni was staring back at her. Like I said, this was the biggest win of Toni Storm's career so far in this company. Britt Baker has been a world beater for so long. She was the champion for, you know, almost a year. She was beating people left and right. People were starting to call her the Charlotte Flair of AEW. This woman was a world beater. So when somebody goes in there and beats her and pins her in the middle of the ring like this, it does feel like a big deal. And it's a big deal for Toni Storm. Big win for her to get. It's the biggest possible win she could have gotten outside of winning the championship from Thunder Rosa, was beating Britt Baker. And if she's the one going to Forbidden Door, which she is, to challenge for that title, this was the win that she needed. This was the woman that she had to beat. And I'm glad that she beat her. You know, she overcame all the interference and the outside bullshit, and she got the win. Fair and square, she got the win right in the middle of the ring. So I don't want to hear from people, WWE didn't treat Toni Storm right. That's what Toni Storm says. Well, what are they doing with her in AEW? Well, she's going to be challenging for the championship in 11 days. I'd say that she's in a pretty good spot right now. I don't think she's going to win. I don't want to make a final prediction right now, but I also don't know that this is going to be a one-and-done type of thing here. This could be a two-match or a three-match series potentially between these two. I certainly wouldn't mind them extending it beyond Forbidden Door. So that's the match that we're going to get. That is the biggest women's title match, I think, right now that they could do. We had a backstage segment with Stokely Hathaway, the publicist for the TBS champion, Jade Cargill. He was being interviewed by Tony Schiavone. He announced an open challenge for Jade's TBS title on Rampage on Friday. All of a sudden, Willow Nightingale shows up. And she cuts this promo on Stokely Hathaway. It's the most amount of promo time I can remember her getting on any of the main TV shows. And this all led to the challenge where she said she would take on Jade on TV this Friday night, and so that's going to be the match. Willow is very good. I've had the chance to call a couple of her matches. I've seen a couple of her matches on TV. She's very good. So I'm sure she's going to go in there and she's going to get her ass handed to her, and we probably won't see her again for a while, but she is someone who I would like to see more of on these shows. I don't know that she's all elite. I don't remember there being a graphic for her, but she is very good. If you've never seen her before, you could watch her work. I enjoy her work and would like to see her featured more on this show. We have the former AEW World Champion, Hangman Adam Page. He was out next to the ring for a promo. He said last week on the show, he challenged Kazuchika Okada to a match at Forbidden Door for the IWGP Championship, but he did not realize that he could lose that championship before Forbidden Door, which is exactly what happened. Jay White won the IWGP title from Kazuchika Okada on the Dominion show this past weekend. So Okada is no longer the IWGP champion. He says, however, the challenge still stands. Adam Cole interrupted. He congratulated his Bullet Club buddy on his IWGP title win. He thought that he should be the one challenging for the championship at the pay-per-view because Forbidden Door is about the Bullet Club and the Undisputed Elite. And with that, he introduced us to a friend of his. And it turned out to be Switchblade Jay White. He made it look like he was about to come out through one of the tunnels. And instead, Jay White showed up behind Adam Page and took him out with the Blade Runner. Jay White cut a promo, not one that was anywhere near as good as the one that he cut in the back after he won the title this past weekend. If you didn't see that promo where he's sitting at the dais and he's just going off on everybody, track that thing down. It's fucking great. But he got on the mic here and talked about being the catalyst of professional wrestling, being the IWGP World Heavyweight Champion. Meanwhile, Hangman couldn't beat CM Punk. And he pointed out that his own record against Hangman in the past is 2-0. Hangman has yet to beat him. He said Okada isn't even going to be at Forbidden Door, which better be a fucking lie. So he said Okada's not even going to be there. And he said that he will not defend the title against Hangman. Adam Cole, this entire time, he's clapping, he's smiling, he's all the way down on top of the stage. And he's clapping, he hears that, right? He hears him say, oh, I'm not going to defend the title against Hangman. He goes, that's right, it's going to be me. And then Switchblade looks over and he says, it isn't going to be against you either, Adam. But he never did tell us who it was going to be against. We still don't know. That's where the segment ended. When he left, he went right past Adam Cole. And Cole had this look on his face like he couldn't believe it. Like, what are you talking about, man? What's going on? Thought we were friends. And Jay White left. So they still announced nothing. Again, 11 days away. At least we know the main event. But if they are going to have an IWGP title match on that show, probably a good time to announce one right about now. There's a few different ways they could go with this. I honestly would have no problem if they did not defend the title on that show. If they wanted to do a tag team match, which I think would be the natural match to do, would have been Hangman and Okada as partners, taking on Jay White and Adam Cole. But they made it pretty clear on this show that the title is going to be defended on that show. So I don't believe that Okada won't be there, which tells me that we might be headed for a four-way. It could be a four-way match. But then I also think, well, we already have a four-way on the show. We have a four-way for the All-Atlantic Championship. It would be overkill to have two of them on the same show. We already have one for a title. You're going to have another one for another title? So maybe he's telling the truth. Maybe Okada's not going to be there. Maybe we get a triple threat match instead, a three-way for the IWGP title. But Jay White said he's not defending against either man, right? This is, again, New Japan does not have a television show like Raw, where fucking Japanese Adam Pearce is going to come walking out and saying, not so fast, Jay White. You will defend that IWGP championship in front of the New Japan universe. You will defend it against Hangman, and you will defend it against Adam Cole. We don't have that. And then in the main event, it was a ladder match for the IWGP. Look at me. Again, I'm getting my titles confused. They're confusing Solo Monster. I don't know what fucking titles are being defended. We had the AEW tag team title. I think the AEW tag team titles. Being defended in the main event tonight. Jurassic Express defending against the Young Bucks. Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus, they won those belts at the beginning of this year. Their run has come to an end. Now, originally, when this match was announced, it was going to be a three-way. It's going to be the Young Bucks, the Hardy Boys, and Jurassic Express for the tag team titles. And then Jeff Hardy decided to go out and drive, loaded, got pulled over, got arrested, charged with felony DUI, and two misdemeanors because he was driving with a suspended or revoked license. And also driving without an interlock device, which he was supposed to have in his car. But then again, he wasn't supposed to be driving in the first place. Now, I did a whole video on this. And I'm going to be talking about this again. I don't know if I'm going to just splice it in or I'll have more information on it. But I will talk more about this on the podcast on Sunday as well. But I didn't even want to wait, honestly, until Sunday. If you missed it. Because I don't want to get into all the details again, but if you missed it, I did cover this 20 minutes. Quite a little rant about the Jeff Hardy situation. Not only was he arrested, but after that, Tony Khan suspended him without pay. So he is suspended from AEW. He's not fired. Tony Khan would have been well within his rights to get rid of this guy. That is what you see on your screen there, far from the only mugshot he's ever had taken. But Tony Khan suspended him without pay, pending him going to rehab, which he indicated Jeff is willing to do. And only upon completion of that rehab and his basically proving that he can be on the straight and narrow will he be welcomed back into AEW. So there is no guarantee still that he will come back to AEW, because who the hell knows what Jeff Hardy is going to do. Jeff Hardy's in a lot of trouble. He's got a felony DUI charge against him. So we could talk about suspension and what does his wrestling future hold. Right now, he has to be more concerned about his future in general, outside of the wrestling ring. Jeff Hardy should not be in a wrestling ring. He should not be anywhere near a wrestling ring for the foreseeable future, if ever again. Especially if he is in that much pain that he has to drink himself into a stupor and swerve across multiple lanes of traffic at 10 o'clock in the morning. Breathing, by the way, into a...
In
A breathalyzer, speaking of drinking, there's the Ric Flair shout out there, the super chat, but almost four times the legal limit in the state of Florida. Think about that. 3.5 times the legal limit pulled over at almost 10 o'clock in the morning. This guy's got a lot of problems. Wrestling ain't one of them. But yeah, that's up on the channel separately if you want my thoughts on the whole Jeff Hardy situation. So obviously both Hardys were pulled from the show. And we ended up getting a match between these two teams. This was as this was as indie-rific as you would expect it to be. Getting into these types of matches and with the Bucks and the ladders and all this stuff. You know, again, the idea that Jeff Hardy would have even been booked in a ladder, I can't get over that. We were on the stream here last Wednesday, and I was kind of half joking about it. But you know, I said at the time, is Tony Khan trying to kill this guy? Whoever came up with the idea, Tony Khan approved it. He booked the match. All people were talking about coming out of Double or Nothing was the fact that, you know, oh, Jeff, he didn't look good. He looked off. He looked hurt. And you put the guy in a fucking ladder match. I don't understand it. I don't get that. I don't get how that decision was even made in the first place. But these guys went out there and they tried to kill each other. Lots of crazy stunt bumps here in this match. The Bucks tried to suplex Jungle Boy out of the ring through a table. Luchasaurus cut them off, allowing Jungle Boy to hit a Hurricane Rana to Matt Jackson off the apron. So Jungle Boy was in the ring, but he ended up jumping up and catching Matt. Matt took this flip bump onto the table. Really, his ass did. His ass is what really went through the table. Nick countered another Jungle Boy attack into a powerbomb through another table before hitting Luchasaurus with a destroyer. He had Luchasaurus then on a table, and Nick Jackson hit a 450 splash through the table. Again, it's just, I don't know. You get kind of numb, I guess. You get kind of numb to this stuff after a while. And it's not that it was a terrible match, and you know, certainly the people in the building, they loved it. They were eating the shit up and going nuts for it. So, but I don't know. This was just, it was just one thing after another here. And I guess with the tables and the ladders, I'm just so fucking numb to it all at this point. All the garbage matches. We've seen so many of them. Now we have Money in the Bank coming up in a few weeks. We got two more ladder matches. It's just, they go to a final commercial. They come back. The Bucks are in control. Luchasaurus, though, makes a comeback. He chokeslams Matt onto a ladder. Takes out both Bucks with an apron moonsault. Luchasaurus then climbs a ladder. Matt Jackson hopped on his back. Luchasaurus just kept climbing until Jungle Boy knocked Matt off of his back with a ladder shot. All four men climbing ladders now in the center of the ring. And they're battling up top. Luchasaurus was the last one up there. The Bucks, though, were able to powerbomb him onto a ladder bridge. It was a reverse Hurricane Rana that took out Jungle Boy. It was a diving elbow, a Macho Man elbow, they called it, from Matt Jackson that sent Luchasaurus through a table. I'll tell you what, these companies, they keep fucking Home Depot and Lowe's in business just with all the lumber that they destroy every single week. They're the sole reason why the stock price is probably, I don't even know what the stock price is right now for Home Depot, but I'm sure it's pretty good. They can thank all these wrestling companies for it. Jungle Boy took out both Bucks and, with German suplexes. He climbed a ladder. Bucks, though, recovered, went for the BTE trigger on the ladders before Jungle Boy reversed. He pushed the Bucks ladder over, and they took a stun gun bump, a hangman bump on the top rope on their way down. Luchasaurus set a ladder up in the middle of the ring, and he climbed, and the Bucks, this was the big spot of the match. This right here was the big climactic spot of the entire match. The Luchasaurus is a big guy, right? Big dude, big tall dude. He's up on this ladder. The Bucks now are up, and they push the ladder over, and Luchasaurus goes hurling out over the top rope, out of the ring. down, crashing through a bunch of tables that were set up on the outside. This is the old TLC bump that Bubba Ray Dudley took. I want to say it was TLC 1, but it might have been TLC 2. I'm almost positive it was TLC 1. Although I think there was another where it might have been him and Matt Hardy. I don't know. They all sort of blend together. I think of it as the Bubba Ray bump, though. Or the Shawn Michaels bump. Shawn Michaels took a bump like that as well through multiple tables in his Armageddon match in 2002. Three Stages of Hell against Triple H. Fucking Undertaker. Undertaker took a fucking bump. Think how crazy that is with that guy's injuries. Even back then in 2007 or 2008, whatever year it was. He took a bump from the top of a ladder like that through tables in the aisleway. Edge pushed the ladder over. So that's what we got here with Luchasaurus. Young Bucks end up pulling down the tag team belts, and they become the first ever two-time AEW tag team champions. I think that even before Matt and Jeff got pulled from this match, I believe that the Bucks were probably going to win regardless. I don't know that they were going to put the belts on the Hardys just yet. I think they would have wanted to drag this out a little bit longer. The Hardys beat them at Double or Nothing. So the Hardys already had that win in AEW over the Bucks. The Bucks then go in there in this match. They win the belts. Now the Hardys have to chase to get the belts from the team they already beat. I could see, you know, Matt and Jeff maybe would have gone over it All Out, won the belts there, and then you get the big celebration. Finally, the Hardys have won the one set of tag team belts that have eluded them here. But that story just went out the window. So the Young Bucks are the champions. After the match, though, came my favorite part of this whole thing. It came after the match was already over. Christian Cage comes in. And he's helping Jungle Boy up to his feet. And he starts to take Jungle Boy out of the ring or help him out of the ring. And all of a sudden, he brings Jungle Boy to the center of the ring. And he delivers the, I was going to call it the unprettier. But he delivers the kill switch right in the middle of the ring and drops him face first down on his face. Goes outside, grabs a chair, grabs two chairs, ends up giving Jungle Boy the one-man concerto. We finally got the Christian Cage heel turn that they started teasing months ago. They were playing the long game here. We finally got it, and I was really happy to see this. I thought this was well done. I thought it was great that they saved it for the very end of the show. That was my criticism of the way they did the whole Finn Balor Edge, basically double turn, on Raw last week when Edge got kicked out of the Judgment Day. They did that in the middle of the show. You save something like that, especially that big swerve, you save that for the end of the show, and that's how you go off the air. You know, with a major attack on somebody, they gave him a concerto as well. I thought that was a mistake to not do that at the end of the show. I'm glad they saved this for the very end. And I'm glad that Christian has gone heel. Christian as a heel is the best version of Christian. And Christian has been virtually just completely absent from television now, for the most part, for many months. You know, he's basically been the manager for Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus, and he hasn't really done much. So now it gets him back in the mix. Now he can work matches against Jungle Boy, which I think can be very good. And he can help put Jungle Boy over. But at least it gives Christian something to do and it gets him back in the ring. So I like that all around. That was my favorite part of this whole thing. Even more than the match. Was the turn that came after the match. And now we'll wait and see if we get that promo from Christian, you know, why Christian, why? We'll see if he gives us an explanation for it, and then when we might get the first match with him and Jungle Boy. So that was the show. There was a lot going on tonight. We did get some forward movement as far as the Forbidden Door card, but there's still a lot of unanswered questions about some of the key matches on that show, and they got 1 week left. They have 1 week left. Rampage on Friday. It's the Road Rager episode of Rampage on Friday. Darby Allin takes on Bobby Fish. John Moxley is in action against Dante Martin. Jade Cargill defends the TBS title against Willow Nightingale. And I believe they said Max Caster would be in action as well. A quick programming note, just so you guys know, there will be no live Dynamite stream next Wednesday. I'm going to be out of town. And I My current plan is to go live with the Dynamite review the next day. So there will be a Dynamite review next week, but it'll be Thursday. I'll let you know on Twitter if it'll be in the afternoon that day or if maybe it's better to do it at night. I don't know, but you're going to have to wait an extra 24 hours or so. So before I forget, I wanted to just mention that. So that's next week, though. That's next week. Just a one-day delay for the Dynamite review next week. Take a look at the Twitter poll. These are the numbers so far with over 1,000 votes in so far. We've got 81% thumbs up for this show, about 10% thumbs in the middle, and almost 9% thumbs down. So that's probably the best Dynamite score that I have seen in a few weeks. That's probably the best numbers I've seen in a while. Yeah, I mean, again, I didn't think it was a bad show. There were quite a few things on this show that I enjoyed, some stuff that I did not. So it was probably better than last week, but again, you guys can chime in on Twitter and let me know your thoughts. At Solomonster is the place to go to do that. Also, I got two other things I want to just quickly mention here. Jon Moxley was on the show tonight talking about Hiroshi Tanahashi. Jon Moxley is in the main event. Jon Moxley is very likely going to be the next AEW World Champion. He will be the interim champion in 11 days. Jon Moxley has a book that has been out for a while, and this week the audiobook version dropped. It's called Mox. And I have heard some of the audio because Moxley does the narration himself. 9 hours of audio narrated by Jon Moxley. I heard some of the audio. You've got to hear this. I want Moxley to narrate my funeral when they put me in the ground. And you guys can get the book, the audio book, free. You see that link on your screen? Punch that in, sign up for the trial. Even if you cancel within the first 30 days of the trial, so you don't get billed, you get to keep the book. It's all yours. You can listen to Moxley in all his glory. So support the podcast, audibletrial.com/Solomonster. That is the place to go. You got to punch in that URL and sign up with it. Then you can get Mox for free. And I only heard a small snippet of the audio, and I was like, I could only imagine when he gets to the parts about Kevin Dunn. I can only imagine what it must sound like in audio form. So you can find out right now by going to audibletrial.com/Solomonster. The other thing I want to mention, you got more content going up tomorrow, as if you haven't had enough already. Tomorrow I'm going to post the latest edition of Sound Off Gamer. And I was originally going to post this, I was going to upload this on Monday. And then the Jeff Hardy stuff broke, and that got in the way. Then I was going to post it today, and then the WWE news blew up after the Wall Street Journal story got posted. What will tomorrow bring? I hope nothing. Third time's a charm. We're going to try again tomorrow to get this thing up, and I'm warning you right now, it is an absolute embarrassment. It is an absolute embarrassment. I am ashamed. I consider just deleting all of it and not even posting it. I don't know if I will be able to do my rise anymore. I am stuck. Wait until you see this. My attempts to win the Royal Rumble. I don't know where I go from here, but Solomonster is contemplating retirement. He's going to have to think long and hard about his next career move. You guys can watch it for yourself. It probably will drop around noon, sometime around noon Eastern tomorrow. Brand new Sound Off Gamer, so you guys can watch for that. Shameful. Absolutely shameful. What I went through in that gameplay, you will not believe. Or maybe you will. If you've seen the way I play the game, it might not be much of a surprise to you. Now, before I get into the super chats, and I'm going to read, I know you got a lot of messages here. So send them on in if you want me to read them. If you have questions for me, there's so many news stories this week. I will do my best with what information I have to give you my thoughts and answer your questions. But I am seeing nonstop messages about Sasha Banks. I am talking about Dynamite, and all I keep seeing is Sasha Banks, Sasha Banks, Sasha Banks. So let's see what's going on with Sasha Banks. Let's see what's going on with Sasha Banks. Because I checked before, and I did not see anything. And I still do not see anything, but let me check. Let's see if there's anything new on the Sasha Banks situation. Let's see. I did see that Sasha Banks had eye surgery. I guess she wasn't a candidate for LASIK, and so she had some other kind of eye operation. I guess, hey, she's got free time, right? She's got free time. May as well get your eyes fixed. I don't see anything. So you guys can let me know if there is a particular place that this is being posted, but some of the places that I trust for news that I check first, I don't see anything. But I am seeing it mentioned here that she has been released by WWE. So if I happen to come across a source for this, then I will talk about it here. But let's flip on over to your super chats here. Let's start going through these, or else we're going to be here all night. Sure, you guys would love that, wouldn't you? You would love it. Solid Monster After Dark. All right, let's go back to Tuxedo T. Servo. The timing of the Wall Street Journal story and Stephanie departing is interesting. She was high enough up where she might have seen this coming. I guarantee you she saw it coming. She's on the board. So if emails were being sent to board members and there was a board investigation that was ongoing, she was on the board. She is still on the board of directors in WWE. When she took her leave of absence, she did not take a leave of absence from the board. I find it impossible to believe that she did not know about this. She had to have known. Doar with the $15 super chat. While it may be low priority news this week, everybody should go out of their way to listen to the Mox audiobook read by the man himself. Redeem those Audible free trials. A great experience. Well, look at that. If I would have known that Doar was doing the plug for me, I wouldn't have done it myself. Thank you, Doar. Audibletrial.com. The link's down below, by the way. It's in the description. If you ever want to refer to it, it is down in the description of these videos. Let me just check. People are mentioning Raj's names. Let me check one more time on this Sasha thing. All right. So there was a tweet. I see what people are referring to now. I see what people were referring to now. There was a tweet from almost an hour ago by Raj Giri of Wrestling Inc. And Raj is a trustworthy guy. He's broken stories before. Saying that, I am hearing Sasha Banks has been released. I don't know if she requested it or if it was on WWE's end. And that's it. That's all we have so far. So we shall wait and see if it gets picked up in other places. But if that is the case, I can't say that I'm surprised. I can't say that I'm too surprised. WWE was very, very angry when she walked out with Naomi. Of course, it poses the question, what is the status of Naomi? Why would they release Sasha but not Naomi? Unless Sasha specifically requested it and Naomi did not. So I find that interesting as well. That we're hearing that Sasha is released, possibly released, but no word on the status of Naomi. Let me check and see what the update is from Sean Ross Sapp. See if we have anything from him. Boy, you know, this week, this week is unbelievable. All right, so this was the tweet about 40 minutes ago from Sean Ross Sapp. I spoke with Raj this afternoon and asked WWE about this. As of this evening, they said that they hadn't heard that, and talent relations did not seem to know. I'm not saying that it didn't or isn't happening, but this is what I have heard so far. When I asked, Raj has good sources. So that's not a confirmation, nor is it a denial. So we're just going to have to wait and see. We're just going to have to wait and see what the truth is here. But if she was released, again, it would not be a huge shock to me. WWE was very angry. Sasha obviously was upset herself and was not too thrilled about either her position or what the creative plans were in this company. Frankly, I don't think she was very happy for a while. I don't think Sasha Banks has been all that thrilled about things in WWE for quite some time. That's my read on it. This was probably inevitable. If this is the point that it has gotten to, it just kind of feels like this was inevitable. And now the question turns to, where does Sasha go? Does she go to AEW? Does she want to pursue other things? You know, she's done some acting. Does she want to pursue that? Does she want to take a break and lay low like what Cesaro has done since his contract ran out? He hasn't popped up anywhere yet. Maybe Sasha will take the same approach. Maybe things will get patched up and eventually she'll end up right back in WWE. That's also very possible. Bray Wyatt got fired. We haven't seen him since. We're still waiting to see if he's coming back anywhere. So I don't know what her next move is going to be. I did make the comment at the time that that story broke that if Sasha Banks was upset with the creative that was presented to her in WWE and she was dissatisfied and didn't feel like, you know, that she was being respected in that position and the tag team titles were not being focused on it the way that they should have been, I said I think that she would be miserable if she went to AEW. Maybe not initially. Maybe there would be a honeymoon period at first. But I just feel like as bloated as the roster has become in AEW, Sasha Banks would go there, and I just find it hard to believe that she wouldn't find frustrations there as well. And while she might have more freedom there than she did in WWE because people can book outside, you know, independent shots, and there's definitely differences between the two companies. You have a bit, you know, you have more freedom there than you would working for Vince McMahon. I still feel like she would end up being miserable in that company. And so I'm not one of these people who's going to say, oh, well, AEW is just a slam dunk. She has to go there. I'd love to see her go there and tear it up in the women's division with Toni Storm and tear it up in the women's division with Thunder Rosa and tear it up with Jamie Hayter and all these other people that they have there. Sasha Banks is one of the greatest women's wrestlers in the world. I would always watch her matches and I would always pay attention to her stuff when I wouldn't necessarily do that with other women's wrestlers because Sasha Banks, she would go out there and she had a lot of really great matches in her time in WWE. When you look back on the last 5, 6, 7 years in this company, people, you're going to hear the name Charlotte Flair mentioned a lot. I know people are sick and tired of seeing her, but Charlotte Flair has also gone out there and has some tremendous matches. But when I think of who the real standout is in that women's division over these last five or six years, Sasha Banks, not Charlotte Flair, not Becky Lynch. For me, it's Sasha Banks. And I'll take it all the way back to the matches that she was having in NXT. The takeover match with Becky Lynch. The takeover match in Brooklyn with Bayley. The Iron Man match they had together. The Hell in a Cell match they had together. What was it, last year or the year before? The Hell in a Cell match with Becky Lynch. Other matches that she had, TV matches. She had a match in NXT, right? Didn't she wrestle Io Shirai once in NXT? I mean, I can go on and on. Sasha Banks is one of the best in the world. So wherever she lands, she will be an asset to that company as far as their women's division is concerned. Sasha Banks going to Impact would be a fucking waste. Sasha Banks going almost anywhere else other than to AEW would feel like a waste. This is a woman who should be a superstar. Whatever you think about her or the way that you think she conducts herself outside the ring or anything like that, or she's full of herself. And, you know, look, in the interview with Steve Austin, she talked about herself like her shit don't stink. She was very confident about herself and her abilities in that interview. And that could rub people the wrong way. But she backs it up in the ring. the run that she had with Bayley when they were the tag team champions, and she was having the matches on TV with Asuka and stuff during, you know, the pandemic era and all that. Her and Bayley were practically carrying a lot of those shows in the pandemic era PCE days of Raw and SmackDown. So it's a shame that it's gotten to this point. Whether she's officially released or she's not officially released, she's still in limbo. She's still been sitting at home now for weeks. Probably the lawyers have been talking. It's a whole fucking mess now. It sucks that it got to this point. It sucks that she had her WrestleMania title match taken away from her because Ronda Rousey decided to come back. The timing just didn't work out. Otherwise, it would have been Sasha Banks getting ready for a big WrestleMania title match with Charlotte Flair this year. It didn't work out that way. So she tried to make chicken salad out of chicken shit with the whole tag team title situation. And she became tag team champion again, and we see where that ended up. She should be doing more than that. She should be a featured performer at or near the top of whatever roster that she is on. She was put on the back burner for far too long in WWE. And I don't know what happened last year when she was going to be at SummerSlam and then she wasn't at SummerSlam. We still don't know. Was it COVID-related? Was it vaccine-related? Was there some other illness or reason? We were never told. I don't know what that was all about. She went into WrestleMania last year and had a fucking fantastic main event match against Bianca Belair. Maybe soon she'll be having those matches for Tony Khan. Hopefully she's not off television for that long. So, anyway, you wanted my thoughts on the Sasha situation? Those are my thoughts on the Sasha situation. Now we wait and see if the news is true. We will know by tomorrow if she is released. We will know for sure by tomorrow if she is actually released. Because now that this is going around, I can't imagine that they're going to let this linger like this without giving us an answer. Either WWE will say there's been no change, or they'll make the formal announcement. WWE PR has more to worry about today than Sasha Banks. They probably have more in their mind right now. You know, using the internet without ExpressVPN, it's kind of like Brock Lesnar or AJ Styles wrestling without a cup, which has been a real problem for them in the past. You might get out of the match unscathed. You might be okay. Chances are, though, you're going to end up on your knees, writhing in pain. It's always better to be safe than sorry, especially when it is as simple as using ExpressVPN. When you're away from home and you connect to an unencrypted network, your online data, it isn't safe. It doesn't matter if it's an airport, a hotel, a restaurant. Your data is not secure. Any hacker can steal your personal data. ExpressVPN creates almost an impenetrable force field around you and your data. It would take that same hacker with a supercomputer over a billion years to get past ExpressVPN's encryption. And even though we'll all be dead by then, at least your personal data will still be safe. ExpressVPN works on all of your devices, from your phone to your laptop to your tablet, even your smart TV. I run it on my laptop when I'm web browsing. I have the app installed on my phone, also mainly for when I'm away from home. And I love it because of how easy it is to use. I like to say that it's idiot-proof. All you do is fire up the app, you click one button, and that's it. You hit that button, and you're protected. It's that easy. When I'm on the web making purchases or doing anything that involves, you know, secure transactions, it gives me that little bit of extra peace of mind knowing my information is safe. Get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN free at expressvpn.com/solomonster. That's expressvpn.com/solomonster. One last time, expressvpn.com/solomonster. Nayef Al-Safar, thank you for the double shot, my friend. Appreciate it. Spicy dried chicken without flavor. It won't be a summer of punk, not a summer of MJF, or a tribal chief summertime. It will be the summer of the catalyst, Jay White. TK is a drooling right now. Hey, if I'm Tony Khan, you know what? I am drooling. If I have the ability to bring in Sasha Banks to my women's division, you're fucking right I want her on my roster. Tony Khan's out of his mind if she becomes a free agent and he doesn't have a conversation with her the very next day. If If I were him, I'd bring her in day one. You don't think she wouldn't be a huge addition to that women's division? I mean, for him, it's a no-brainer. I think he's got to slow his roll as far as bringing in people, but she's one of those people you make an exception for. You know, we could talk about how, well, he's already signed too many people and he's only got so many spots. Sasha Banks becomes available, you reach out. Period. End of story. Jay White is a... Dry Chicken is a huge Jay White fan. Yes, I'm sorry. Mercedes. You know, what's interesting, Paige is on her way out as well. July 7th is her last day under contract with WWE. But Paige is not medically cleared yet. So she has said she wants to get back in the ring. She's not medically cleared yet. She should not be in the ring until she is medically cleared. If and when the day comes that Paige gets the okay from the doctor that it's okay to step back into the ring, Paige has a name as well. Paige has a ton of fans out there. There'll be plenty of promoters who are drooling to bring her in as well. None of them should for an in-ring role until she is medically cleared. But again, if she can get cleared, she should have the opportunity to go and wrestle at least one more time if that's what she wants to do. You know, her career did not end in the way that she wanted it to. I'm sure she wants to go out on her terms. She sees the edges of the world and, you know, Daniel Bryan's coming back from major injuries. So, God, can you imagine a scenario in which Sasha Banks ends up working in AEW and maybe Paige ends up working in AEW and in a year, maybe she's back in the ring wrestling. You know, who the hell knows? Those would be two big names, though, I'll tell you that. For Tony Khan to pick up. Anti-Ambishop 07 with the $10 super chat. Hey, Solomonster, all respect to the Mets, but it's Astros all effing day next week. As for Dynamite, Forbidden Door is going to be amazing. Just hope it isn't 4 hours. Great show tonight. All the best. Yeah, I really hope we don't have a long night the way that we did for Double or Nothing. I mean, I love me some AEW versus New Japan, but yeah, I don't want the show to be as long. Dry Chicken, New Japan structure is better than the AEW structure. Hashtag Team NJPW. Lakers Pats, Nick Khan is like the NWO in 96. He is taking over. Nick Khan, man, he is plotting his way through that company. My God, I mean, Triple H. Stephanie now is out of the way. Shane got sent home by Vince for being a bad boy. He got sent to his room. And could you imagine? I'm picturing Nick Khan is like Deep Throat. He's in the parking garage at Titan Tower. He's got the hat pulled down over his head. He's got the cigarette hanging out of his mouth. And here comes the Wall Street Journal reporter looking around. And he says, fuck Bully Ray. But then he hands the envelope to the reporter and he just walks off into the shadows. Maybe Nick Khan is like the Deep Throat of WWE. Nick Grasso. Sammy Guevara joining the Jericho Appreciation Society is a bad idea because it's like Sammy is taking several steps back and Jay White, I think, will face a certain cleaner at Forbidden Door. Will Ospreay against Orange Cassidy. Really? Kenny Omega is not wrestling at Forbidden Door. Jay Baker. Good show tonight. Dax against Will was the match of the night. Also, Vince and Johnny Ace will likely be gone soon. Great time to be a wrestling fan. If you think that Vince McMahon is going to be gone that easily, well, you are sorely mistaken. I would expect Johnny Ace will be gone soon. Vince McMahon? I don't know about that. Flamethrower Fluff Salisbury. Jeff Hardy, I'm having a horrible week. Vince McMahon, don't worry, I'll make him forget all about you. It's amazing. I said it at the beginning of the stream. I said I thought that was going to be the biggest story all week, was Jeff Hardy on loaded on, you know, Fireball, swerving all over the place and getting arrested again. Then this stuff drops. Now we'll see what happens with this Sasha Banks stuff. It's a mess. It's a mess. Shinakuma, you had me in tears with Seth Franklin Rollins. Yeah, I talked about that on the podcast on Sunday. If you have no idea what that is, you got to go back and listen to the Raw review from this past Sunday. I talked all about the whole Seth Franklin Rollins situation. Christopher Smith with the $4.99. In your opinion, what is an underrated AEW theme song? I have two, Hikaru Shida and Jamie Hayter. An underrated theme song. An underrated AEW theme song. Would Hook be considered underrated? I like Hook's song. Who is it again? Who's the rapper who sings Hook's theme song? It's got a good beat. I like it. You know whose song I don't like? Orange Cassidy. I guess that's a Pixie song. I don't like that song. James Cooper. Holy shit, $49.99, the $50 super chat drop from Mr. Cooper. We're hanging with Mr. Cooper tonight here on the stream. Keep up the good work. Your streams and content help when the days feel long and stressful. In your opinion, when the inevitable Punk against Dragon match happens, will it be better than their match in 2012 at Over the Limit? I think it will. Okay. All right. Calm down. Action Bronson is the one who sings Hook's song, and I like it. I'm going to go with that. I'm going to go with Action Bronson. I love that Over the Limit match in 2012. It's my favorite of the matches that the two of them had. That was from the May 2012 pay-per-view. Which, now that I think about it, I think actually that might have been the show that had John Cena against John Laurinaitis in the main event. I believe that was the pay-per-view where Johnny Ace main evented over the WWE champion. But yeah, I think it will be. You know, Punk has made it very clear. He wants to wrestle Bryan Danielson. I don't think he's going to go in there and he's not going to go in there and have a decent match. He's going to go in there and have his working shoes on. Danielson may be at his very best right now. He is fantastic. He's on his A game. You put the two of them together in the ring in a big pay-per-view main event, I think they're going to go out there and I think they're going to have probably the best match they've ever had in their career. Epsilon Sama, did you watch the video of Jeff Hardy drinking whiskey? Yes, I did. And that looked like a full glass and he downed it like a shot. And then before he starts singing, he goes, alcohol is my best friend and whiskey. Whiskey is my best friend and my worst enemy. And he laughs. And then he continues on with his music. How many of those do you think he pounded before he got behind the wheel of that car? Dry Chicken, the Young Bucks are one of the best tag teams, but after tonight, I am done taking the AEW tag team division seriously. Tony Khan, overexposure booking. Food Hive, what up, chat? Tonight's dinner was... What? What does that say? Well, when the super chat disappears, I will see what that says. But thank you, Food Hive, for the $1.99. Oh, cheese nachos. I thought that said Chex, like the cereal. I go, why are you combining Chex cereal and nachos? That sounds ridiculous. Cheese nachos? I wouldn't know about that. That sounds awful. JM also dropping $50 on the stream. JM coming in hot. JM is one of our loyal soldiers here on this channel. JM brings the heat. I was very entertained by tonight's Dynamite, but hearing JR call Christian an SOB after that dastardly act made me feel about 22 years younger. P.S. I need more Willow Nightingale on my AEW programming. I agree. So, was it chicken nachos? Okay. I thought that was cheese. Now they're telling me that CHX is chicken. chicken nachos. I'm not a nachos guy. I'm not a nachos guy, so I'm still not sold. I'll take the chicken without the nachos. John Falchetta, Cornette mentioned the other day that Vince and Linda were living separately for over 2 years. Now we know why she finally had enough. Yeah, I don't know if Cornette knows that or not. I mean, yeah, you know, Cornette hasn't interacted with Vince outside of the Hall of Fame when he came in to induct the Midnight Express or the Rock and Roll Express. He hasn't talked to Vince in years. I don't think Cornette knows. I think he's just, you know, he's theorizing about their relationship. I wouldn't be surprised if he's right. Again, I mentioned the whole Bill and Hillary thing. It just, that's what they kind of remind me of. They have this very weird relationship. Actually, JM dropped $50. The $50 super chat, which would have popped up on the screen before, is from election night when Linda lost her last election. That was the election where she wasted $100 million to lose. She was a loser to the tune of over $100 million. And I said, that's her husband's money that he pumped into that campaign. And they zoom in on Vince and he's got this look on his face. That might have been the night that their relationship officially came to an end. When that super chat pops up and you see the look on Vince's face, he's standing in the crowd on stage. That might have been the night that Vince and Linda were officially done. That might have been what finally did it. Oh, me. Kev's bootlegs. Vince Weinstein was exposed. Nick Khan is taking over, and everyone already forgot Jeff Harvey. We're getting close to 400 live. We had quadruple that on the stream earlier, but yeah, I don't push it enough. So if we can get at least to 400 likes here on the live stream, at least that much, that would make me very happy. So see if we can get that number up to 400. Magician Sapphire, $10 super chat. Fans rejoice. The Solemn Monster has made his AEW return and will challenge Will Ospreay at Forbidden Door. Also, Dax against Ospreay killed it tonight. And Quintus Brown with the $2. Bucks against FTR 3. All out. Winner take all. Book it. Sounds good to me. Sign me up for that. JM dropped another $50 super chat. Am I seeing this correctly? Do my eyes deceive me? Holy shit. JM. You're making me feel special tonight. You're putting a smile on my face. Food Hive. Proud and powerful. Oh, I don't know why I said that. I thought that said proud and powerful. Yeah, I mean, that's probably what he said. That's probably what John Laurinaitis said. Penis power. Guy's a fucking freak. Shin Akuma, my favorite tag team of all time is Evolution. Food Hive, I am cutting my hair right now, and thanks to your impression of Johnny Ace, and I am going from an even haircut to a bald fade because I laughed hard as fuck, so thanks for that. LOL, yes, I am a barber. Is there anything this man doesn't do? He's a chef, he's a barber. I believe he might have his law degree. I think he's a JD as well. He might be a lawyer. He might have his Juris Doctorate. There is nothing that Food Hive can't do. Scorch 62 with the $15 super chat. Do we know why Justin Roberts was not there tonight? No. I don't believe they commented, but they did say he would be back next week. Rodimus Prime, $15 super chat. Besides all the news with Vince and Mr. People Power himself, another great night for wrestling. Loved every bit of it. Aussie of Steel. This may sound harsh, but maybe Jeff Hardy needs to do time behind bars to straighten himself out. Otherwise, history will keep repeating itself. I don't think it's harsh. I mean, I said as much on the video I did yesterday. Jeff Hardy could very well end up behind bars. He committed a felony. And frankly, I think he absolutely should do time behind bars. How long? I don't know. That's for the legal system to decide. But at some point, there have to be consequences for your actions. He can get the help he needs. But he committed a felony. This is not his first time doing this. He should spend time behind bars. He should not get a slap on the wrist. He's been getting slaps on the wrist now for over a decade, and we see where that's led. Temujin Zephyr, good to see you back in AEW confronting Ospreay. Since you're a member of Chaos, ever met Okada? If so, how cool is he in person? He's kind of a geek. Food Hive, when you try to say Ortiz with your terrible rolling of the R's, you sound like the Count from Sesame Street. The Count from Sesame Street. I can't roll my R's. I mean, what do you want from me? I'm as white as white can be. Ortiz. You know what? I do sound like the Count. I sound like Dracula. Ortiz. I live in Transylvania. I don't know. That's how I sound. Don't make fun of me. Loose Cannon with the $9.99. Enjoyed the ladder match tonight. However, with Vince McMahon's news, do you think WWE are going to lose some sponsors after today or this week? It's too early to tell. I mean, again, this is just coming out. We don't know how bad it gets. There's an investigation ongoing. All these people who say Vince is safe, Vince is not going to go anywhere, nothing is going to happen. The likelihood that anything happens to Vince, I will say, is very low. But we don't know how far this extends. How bad is it? How many non-disclosure agreements could there possibly be? And why would there be so many non-disclosure agreements? You don't have multiple non-disclosure agreements if you're a fucking Boy Scout. Something obviously happened. We've only scratched the surface of how deep this could potentially go. We don't have all the details yet, so it's impossible to know. Could they lose sponsors? Sure they could. Yes. Yes. This could end up being a real blow to the company if they end up losing sponsors or, you know, other partners, you know, have issues with this and they want someone's head on a platter, even if it's not Vince. You know, bodies may fall. It might not be his, but bodies may well fall. We just don't know how bad it is yet, but it sounds pretty bad. Shout out to Rico Puri, who just subscribed to the channel. He gets us that much closer to 69,000. We are close to 69K. So thank you to Rico. Food Hive again. Look at this guy. Supposed to be cutting his hair. He's sending super chats. With Sammy back with Y2J, my theory of Daniel Garcia joining the Blackpool Combat Club at or after Blood and Guts makes more sense. Conflict between the young stars. DG turns. Interesting. I did think Garcia would have been a better fit for the Blackpool Combat Club. So they could do a correction on that if they wanted to. Joseph Brooks, how would you book a Brett versus Angle match? Meaning, how would you book the story going into the match? And what type of match would you do? First match would be just a straight up wrestling match. It doesn't need any stipulation. It doesn't need to be an Iron Man match. It doesn't need to be a submission match. It doesn't need to be anything other than one-on-one. No gimmicks, no bullshit, no, you know, lazy booking or anything like that. Just one-on-one, Bret Hart against Kurt Angle. And frankly, I think the story is both guys always took great pride in being the best wrestler. And the reason that people would be excited about a Bret Hart and Kurt Angle match is because they're great wrestlers. If you are excited about the idea of a Bret Hart Kurt Angle match, it is for no other reason other than the fact that you are into the technical aspect of their work and you would love to see what a match between them would be. So I think it's a story based around who the better wrestler is. Kurt Angle talks about how he's an Olympic gold medalist, right? There's no one better than him. No one has the credentials that he has. And Bret could talk about the fact that, look, I come from a wrestling dynasty. My father, Stu Hart, trained people, tortured people. In the dungeon, Kurt, you call yourself an Olympian, right? You would never last 10 seconds with my father in the dungeon. You didn't come from the dungeon. I did. Again, I don't think you need to overcomplicate the story. You don't need to bring in a valet to be involved. You don't have to have, someone spills coffee on the other guy by accident. Somebody squirting water guns or, some fucking nonsense that we would see on TV today for how some of these feuds begin. I would keep it simple. And I think those guys would go out there and they would have a classic match. Classic match. I mean, think about what Kurt did with Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 21. I'm sure he and Brett could have delivered a similar type of match. Temjin Zephyr Wardlow against the security extras crew reminded me of the slobber knocker mode from the SmackDown video games. Magician Sapphire, unpopular opinion. I did not like the Young Bucks beating Jurassic Express. The match was great, but there's so many other AEW tag teams who could have benefited with this win. Yeah, but I figured the Bucks get the belts back, and the Bucks put over one of these other teams, ultimately, whether it's All Out or maybe it's, before All Out. I don't think they're going to go on some kind of year-long dominant run with the belts. Whoever they lose it to, hopefully it will help get them over that much more. It's possible they wanted to get the belts onto a heel team so they could drop it to another babyface team. It could be FTR. Or it could be somebody else that we're not thinking of. Somebody before mentioned doing FTR and the Bucks again at All Out. Having FTR win back the AEW tag team titles, I'd be all for that. Roka Will 23. The Vince McMahon story is neither surprising nor shocking. Reading this story today made me think of one person's tragic story, Ashley Massar. The comedic genius Sasha Banks just got released. Again, we've already covered that. We're still waiting on the official announcement, but that is certainly a rumor that is out there. Joseph Brooks, where is your belt, Solomonster? LOL, you need one too. Well, I have one. I have the Solomonster belt. Sometimes I hang it on the wall behind me. Right now it's being displayed elsewhere. Everybody gets belts. You get a belt. I get a belt. I have my own custom belt, though. That's the difference. That's like my smoking skull belt. Actually, mine has a skull on it, too. It's actually nicer than the smoking skull belt. Samoan Fan 101, why did Brock Lesnar kiss Kurt Angle? Because he thought Kurt was a very attractive man and he couldn't resist his urges anymore. Quintus Brown, Sasha got released. Dr. Scorpio, can't we go 1 week without some sort of breaking news or controversy happening in the cursed wrestling community? Juan Bermudez, I'm with you on the year that Dax has had. He has had a great year in the ring. The dude is awesome. I also love that we are getting Ospreay against Cassidy. I think that could end up to be a really fun match. I don't hate it, but it would not have been on my list of opponents that I would have put together for Will Ospreay. I also wasn't aware that Orange Cassidy had been cleared to wrestle, so I didn't even have him on the brain when it came to Forbidden Door. It's too bad we're not getting Orange Cassidy against Yano. Are we going to get Yano on the show? I haven't heard anything about Toru Yano. Rizzo with the 10 spot. My oh my, Solomonster. Who would have thunk that by the end of the year that all the McMahons possibly could be gone from WWE? This has been such a crazy year. Plus, rumored Sasha being released. Can you imagine? We started this year. Now, Linda's been out of the picture for a while. But we started the year with the Shane McMahon thing after the Royal Rumble where he got sent home. Stephanie takes a leave of absence. There's always the chance that this thing blows up even bigger and Vince has to take one for the team and he does the right thing for the company and he opts to step aside. I still find that almost impossible to believe. I don't even know. What would he do with himself? What would he even do? He wouldn't even know what to do. Can you imagine if he really is losing his fucking mind and he ousts himself, he steps aside, takes all of his money, starts his own separate wrestling company to compete with Nick Khan's WWE. I mean, this is all pie in the sky now, but it's kind of funny to think about. But what a year. What a year it's been. Like I said before, we're only halfway through. We're only halfway through. Dr. Scorpio, any segment with Sammy or Ty involved, I ignore. I don't hate them. I'm just indifferent to them now. I skip the segment. Christopher Smith, if you could have three crossover matches, what would they be? Mine are Hikaru Shida against Asuka, Jay White against Cameron Grimes, and G.O.D. against The Usos. I've said, give me Okada and Danielson. That's the one that I want. Okada and Danielson. Darth Panic with the 1992 Royal Rumble. Ric Flair Super Chat. With all the crazy stories going on right now, I wanted to mention a positive story that is being overshadowed. Big E posted a video of himself throwing his neck brace in the trash. So I did hear about that the other day. That is very cool. That is very good to hear. Still don't have any other updates on Big E as far as the state of his neck, but if he is getting rid of the brace, that is always a good sign. Alex Jimenez, I listened to one of your old shows. Thank you for introducing me to the song Prison Bitch. You were talking about Jeff Hardy. Oh my God, I forgot about that. What episode was that? Jesus, that's a long time ago. That was a long time. That was, I'm sure, after one of the many Jeff Hardy incidents. I think that was a Bob and Tom song. It's called You're My Prison Bitch, My Prison Bitch. Man, that's going back a ways. Yeah, Jeff Hardy might have a new prison bitch before long if things don't go his way. Spanish Goddish with a couple of super chats here. Look at this guy. Actually, he gave me a triple. He dropped a triple on me. What do you think of the Sasha news that just broke? I already talked about that. What do you think of the Sasha? He asked me again, what do I think of the Sasha news? I already talked about that. And he says, I'm meeting Brett this Saturday. Now, that is very cool. That is very cool. Make sure you get a picture. Rizzo, $10 super chat. It seemed like since WrestleMania 2019, a match where her and Bayley allegedly threw a tantrum and she didn't come back until SummerSlam, that she has not been happy in WWE. I'm telling you, she has not been happy in WWE for a while. She can put a happy face on social media all she wants to, and she can talk about how Vince is my friend. This idea that she's only been unhappy for a couple of months is bullshit. She's been unhappy for longer than that. I don't buy that for a second. Daniel Cabeza, this is going to be the first 5-hour Solid Monster Sounds Off with all these breaking news in his new platform of Spreaker. Hashtag rest in peace, Podbean. We are on Spreaker. Thank you for the plug. We have moved on from Podbean. We are on Spreaker, but I need you guys to show support on Spreaker. So much like Podbean has a free app, so too does Spreaker, and it works just as good, I promise you. So download the free Spreaker app, follow the show on there. You can leave comments under each episode. You could also get it the usual way. You can get it on Apple. You can get it on Spotify and all the usual places. That hasn't changed. But now we're trying to build up our new home on Spreaker. MR, thank you for the super chat. Dropping $4.99. Do you think they'll really get rid of Vince? He holds majority shares. I don't see him going anywhere, but he does have enemies. Yeah, nobody is going to get rid of him. Again, we would have to see where the story goes. I don't know. There could be a mechanism by which, even though he is the majority shareholder, maybe something can be done, but it's his company. He controls things. And so it would very likely have to be a voluntary thing, and I just can't... It's hard for me to see that. But if things get bad enough, if this story somehow gets worse... I mean, I wanted to gag myself after I read about him allegedly, you know, sharing somebody like a toy with John Laurinaitis, I wanted to fucking heave into a fucking bucket. But if this somehow gets worse, all bets are off. All bets are off. There comes a point. We've had other companies, multi-million-dollar, billion-dollar companies whose CEOs have had to step down for similar types of situations. It is not impossible to think that Vince McMahon could ultimately have to fall on his sword. But the idea that, oh my God, Vince is going to be done, Vince is going to be gone, I mean, that is jumping the gun way too soon. There's no indication of that being the case. JM with the $30 super chat. Bully the Clown. I agree with you on Sasha to AEW. All the women appear to be allotted a very specific 15-minute block on Dynamite Weekly. One segment on Rampage. I fear she would get lost in the shuffle after the initial exciting debut. Kid Kato with the $9.99. Hey, Solo Monster, I was wondering what were your thoughts on the TNA 2013 to 2017 period, and what are your thoughts on Austin Aries? I was watching TNA weekly from, I don't know if it was 2011 or 2012 when I went back to it. And I watched it for a few years. I don't know if I was still watching it full-time in 2017. I don't think I was. But I enjoyed Impact. There was a period there from like 2012-ish to 2013 into 2014 where I was enjoying it. And actually, Aries was doing the Dirty Heels thing with Bobby Roode. I enjoyed that. So at the time, I enjoyed his work and I enjoyed a lot of what Impact was offering. But, you know, then I didn't. Gave them a lot of chances over the years. Then I just got bored with it and I fell out of it, and also people just didn't have an interest in hearing about it anymore. I said, if I'm not enjoying it the way that I used to, I could stomach it if people really wanted to hear about it, but then when they didn't want to hear about it, I said, well, what the fuck am I sticking around with this for? You know, even when WWE, as bad as it sometimes can be, you know, the reality is people still want to hear me talk about WWE. In a lot of cases, they don't even watch it anymore. They rely on me to tell them what's going on. They want my thoughts. They want to know what I think about it. I would post Impact stuff, and people just didn't give a shit. So at that point, I said, if I'm not having fun with it anymore, we're just going to cut bait and move on. And I moved on to Lucha Underground, which I very much enjoyed. And then, unfortunately, that went away. Oh, we got Rizzo. Someone smarter than me needs to Photoshop Nick Khan's head on Rollins' body and Vince's head on Roman's in the famous Rollins turn. King Bling Blah, what if Nick Khan leaked it to try to take over? Anything's possible. Nick Khan is on the board. That guy is ruthless. Anything's possible. Bill Baggins, what is your favorite wrestling video game of all time? Mine is WCW NWO Revenge. Mine is WrestleFest, the arcade game. HBKC83, would you put the All Atlantic Championship on Miro or Malakai Black? I think it's going to Miro, and when they bring in the Trios titles, because those are also coming, those could end up with the House of Black. I don't get the sense that Malakai is going to be doing much single. I would like for him to, but I don't get the sense he's going to be doing much single stuff after this, unless he wins the title. I don't think he's going to, though. The Nacho Man. Ooh, yeah. Summer of Punk is worse than the Summer of George. This ain't going to be the Summer of George or the Summer of Punk. This is going to be the Summer of Solomonster. You guys stick with me. It's going to be the Summer of... We keep having news like this. It's going to be the Summer of Solomonster if I make it through this summer. Tetsuya Aito. Jay White is a better promo than MJF. He's good. He's very good. I don't know that I would go that far. Food Hive. First, it's Oreo deviled eggs, and now Chex cereal nachos. Well, you need to be you need to be clearer about what you're talking about when you drop these super chats. You write CHX. How am I supposed to know what that means? Super Teak Boxy. Vince should sign a few ex-presidents to the roster and start a stable called Hush Money Club, led by himself with Johnny Ace as the muscle. Griga, thank you for the $1.99. Don Juan. Nick Khan is like Kaiser Soze, getting rid of each McMahon and his people one by one. Kevin Dunn is next. The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he did not exist. It's a great movie. And by the way, when the day eventually comes that Vince is gone, you can kiss Kevin Dunn goodbye. Maybe not right away on day one, but when Vince goes, Kevin Dunn's gone. Kevin Dunn is Vince's guy. Whoever the next administration is, the next leader is that comes in, Kevin Dunn, he is not going to be long for that world. King Bling Blah, how would you book Brock Lesnar as the 24/7 champion? I would not. So there's your answer. I would burn that in a dumpster in the back behind Titan Tower. And then what I would do is I would collect the ashes and I would put them in a little glass case, and you could put that on display at Fan Access when they take Fan Access on the road for WrestleMania. And you could say, here's what the 24/7 title used to be. Little kids will come and say, what's that? And then their father can tell them, well, son, that was the single worst championship in the history of the company. And unfortunately, there was a period of time where we had to sit through people running through the ring, running through the arenas, like a bunch of geeks, chasing after an ugly green belt. And this is what's left of it. That's about all that it's good for. We got Food Hive. It got you to laugh again. Take that, Paul Heyman. We got Chris Manson. Man, these are coming in. These are coming in hot here. Spicy dried chicken. The Sasha Banks news is going real hot right now. Yeah, I could tell. I could tell just based on this chat. I could tell. Chris Manson, I feel miserable is a harsh word. If Sasha goes to AEW, that can put a mark on the women's division, possibly leading to more TV time. I don't know. We've said that before about Toni Storm. We've said that before about Ruby Soho. We've said that about other people that have come in. They still have a lot of issues with their women's division. I would like, look, in a perfect world, Sasha would come in. She'd be one of the crown jewels of that division, and just her being part of it would lead to more TV time and more exposure. Because they have a lot of talented women on the roster. The issue is not that they, you know, they don't have any talent. They have plenty of talent. And they have some women that aren't as good. You say the same thing about WWE. Just watch their TV shows every week. They have some really good women, and they have some women who are not that good at all. Both companies have that issue. Sasha Banks being brought in, though, to be a sudden game changer in the women's division, she should be a game changer in that women's division. I'm just saying that there are so many people right now on that roster, male and female, that I think it would not take very long for her to get frustrated, because she would not be getting the amount of television time that she was at one time accustomed to getting in WWE. It was one point, especially during the pandemic show, she was all over the shows. Her and Bayley both, they were all over the shows. Raw, SmackDown, NXT for a while there. I don't see her having that same level of exposure on AEW television. Rizzo, Alex J reminded me one of my favorite titles of your shows is Tom Phillips wants to do what to my face? I still laugh my ass off when I think about it. Oh, poor Tom Phillips. Cassio Black, not sure if you commented on this yet, but any thoughts on the accusations of Thunder Rosa Sandbag? Yeah, I didn't mention it last week because nothing looked out of the ordinary to me about it, so didn't strike me as being anything overly blatant. So I didn't have any comment on it. And she commented on it and basically said that when she... Now, it's interesting. When she commented on it, she didn't flat out deny it. But she basically said when she goes in there, she, you know, goes in there to work with her opponents and have the best possible match on the card, which I believe she does. I think she wants to go out. And look, I think her and Serena Deeb went out there at Double or Nothing and they had a very good match. They worked very well together. I'm sure that's her goal every time she goes out to the ring. I would certainly hope that that is not something that she was doing in that match. I don't know what the purpose of that would be. I never really understood that because look, when that sort of thing happens in a match, both people end up looking bad. Who does that serve? You end up having a shitty match and both people look bad. Why would you even do something like that? Yeah, Bob Holly was accused of sandbagging Brock Lesnar in the match they had on SmackDown many years ago when Brock dropped him on his head and broke his neck. And Bob denied the fact that he was sandbagging him, but people insisted, look at the footage. It looks like he said, and it did look that way. He says he didn't, but he got dropped on his head as a result. So, you know, if he did, that would have been a pretty stupid thing for him to do. But to me, you know, it wasn't anything that really stood out to me too much. It was everybody else who I saw making comments about it after the fact. It wasn't anything that I even brought up on the stream when I talked about their match last week. Food Hive, watch Jungle Boy's family interaction with Christian. Wow. Abhinav Teramula, buy, sell, rent, Cole White Page. Also, All Out at BMO Field. Well, they certainly have outgrown the smaller building. What is it, the Now Arena at Hoffman Estates? They can't run that. I understand Tony Khan might have a thing for that building. It's sentimental value. Can't run that building. That building is way too small. So if they even run Chicago, if they can find a field to run, I say do it. I don't know that they'll sell it out, depending on how big the field is, but they certainly have outgrown the Now Arena. As far as buy, sell, or rent, Adam Cole, Jay White, and Hangman Page. I'm going to buy on Jay White. I am going to rent on Hangman Page, and I'm going to sell on Adam Cole. And I like all three, but that is what I am going to do. Anti-M Bishop, hear me out. Sasha Banks goes to Impact. If she shows up, I will start watching again. Legit. Oh, for Impact. For Impact, it's a no-brainer. I don't want to see her in Impact. Tyrell Bass, why can't they give Roderick his release? Does he have to walk out too? Yeah, it's weird. Some people they do, some people they don't. They didn't give it to Ali. Now they can just beat him like a drum. Hey, at least he got on Raw this week. I thought he'd be relegated to Hulu. We wouldn't see him on USA ever again. There he was on TV doing the JLB on Monday night. Food Hive says Sasha Banks on BTB. BTB. We got the Yatagarasu. $5 super chat. Fans want a Solomonster Gamer episode for the new Ninja Turtles game. Well, lucky you. I am going to be purchasing the Shredder's Revenge game, which is officially out today. Thursday. For those who aren't aware. Game is going to be dropping, and at some point, I'm going to be buying it. I figure I could probably get at least one Sound Off Gamer out of it. Play it. See how it is. Dr. Scorpio. Hashtag cancel Vince McMahon is trending on Twitter. You will never cancel Vince McMahon. I don't think Vince McMahon will allow himself to be canceled. And Paul Heyman. I heard a rumor that the real reason WWE is getting rid of Paige is so that they can bring back Del Rio. Oh, I'm sure Del Dipshit would have you believe that. He thinks he belongs in the WWE Hall of Fame. Now, if you look at his credentials, if you look at his accomplishments in the time he was in the company, under normal circumstances, that alone would warrant an eventual Hall of Fame induction. The guy was a world heavyweight champion. He was a WWE champion. He was a United States champion. He was a Money in the Bank winner. He was a Royal Rumble winner. He accomplished quite a bit in his career. He accomplished more outside of the ring. And I don't mean that in a good way. So he would be a terrible person to put in the Hall of Fame. WWE would be out of their fucking mind to put him in the Hall of Fame. So, no, he is not going into the Hall of Fame. He can wish it all he wants to. He will not be going into the Hall of Fame. John Falchetta says, now we know what was in Shane O'Mac's lockbox. Oh, you know what? I forgot about the lockbox. I forgot about the lockbox. So did they. I forgot about that. Yeah, I don't think Shane's on the board, though. So I don't know that he would have known. Food Hive, BTB equals Be the Booker. Sasha Banks on Be the Booker. Sasha Banks is already on Be the Booker. She's got more than one entry in Be the Booker. Bob the Builder, I got some insider info. Gable Steveson is done with WWE. When it eventually comes out, you will thank me later. Well, you know, it's interesting you mention that because I've seen the stories already from a few weeks ago that he is either considering going back to college or he is going back. So I don't know if what you're talking about here is separate from that. I already knew that. And it was funny because when I heard that, they already went and drafted him in the draft last year. He was the last person they drafted. They said Gable Steveson is coming to Monday Night Raw. And the idea was that he would finish out, you know, his college days, and he retired from wrestling, amateur wrestling, and he was going to debut on the main roster as early as this May. Well, here we are now in June, and supposedly he's already talked about unretiring and going back. So I think it is safe to say that Gable Steveson, he's done before he ever began. Which is funny, because think back to WrestleMania this year. Who did Gable Steveson appear with? Actually, he had more than one segment, but I was thinking of the one with Stephanie. He had that one segment with Stephanie where they both posed together. And now both of them appear to be gone. Oh, well. Abhinav, BMO Field is in Toronto. You talked about it before. Ah, yes, Toronto. Well, Toronto is what I pitched. I pitched that months ago. I haven't heard anything new about the status of All Out or where it's going to be held. I just said I want it in Canada because I think that first AEW show in Canada is going to be sick. And I said, why not go to Toronto? But that's right. BMO Field is the stadium in Toronto. I think that would be fantastic. Bob the Builder says, it sucks All Out will be in the Now Arena again. I don't know if that is official. I certainly hope that's not true. I hope that's not true. You know, they also signed Gable Steveson's brother, Bobby. He's part of Diamond Mine now in NXT. Hasn't done much. I haven't seen much out of him. I don't know what the big deal is about his brother. I am not so sure that those signings are going to end up being ones that we look back on as being anything great. So I think we're caught up. I think we are finally caught up on all your questions and all your messages. Juan Ocampo says, thanks for the Audible link. Now I get to hear Moxley bury Kevin Dunn soon. I tweeted it out to you. Again, I'm telling you, cash in on that, on those Audible trials, guys. You can get the book for free. Audible's a pretty badass service, but you know, you try it out for 30 days, no obligation. If you do cancel, you don't get billed, but you get to keep the book free. It belongs to you. So you will get a free book on me. Audibletrial.com/Solomonster. There he is, right there, on your screen. There's the man himself. There's your future interim AEW world champion. All right, it's getting late. It's time to be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the Booker.
It is that time for Be the Booker, all the insanity of this week. Let's put that all on the side and try to book ourselves a few matches here. We do one with the men, the women. Got a brand new tag team, Be the Booker. That's gone over pretty well so far. So let us begin, not waste any more time. Who are we going to begin with? Let's start with the men. Let's go with the men first. Book ourselves a main event. We had a ladder match main event tonight for the tag team titles. Maybe we can top that with our own booking. We've got Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson. Call him whatever you want. You can call him the best in the world, as William Regal has said. The best wrestler in the world. Never a bad way to open up Be the Booker. You know what? Who was the one who asked me about Punk and Brian earlier? Hell of a coincidence if we land on CM Punk. So it'll be Brian Danielson one-on-one taking on Psycho Sid. Daniel Bryan and Psycho Sid. You know, I gotta say, I don't think Sid gets the respect that he deserves. People shit on Sid and they talked about how he was a terrible wrestler and he was boring and he couldn't do anything. You know what? Having seen people like fucking Omos and Commander Aziz and Satnam Singh and some of the other stiffs that we've seen over the years, I have a newfound appreciation for Psycho Sid. You go back and you watch his matches, Sid wasn't that bad at all. He can move around. He got some impressive height. He would do these standing leg drops. He took some good bumps. And I think you put him in the ring with Bryan Danielson, I think that'd be Sid probably get the greatest match he's ever had in his fucking life. And he was over. Oh, was he over. He was over like you wouldn't believe, especially when he came back to WWF in 96. Boy, did the people love him. I think that'd be a pretty good match. So, not too bad. I would say not too bad. Let's try the ladies. This is usually where things fall off a cliff. We begin with, well, look at this. Thunder Rosa, the reigning AEW Women's Champion. Thunder Rosa, very appropriate here for the Dynamite stream. Who are we going to book Thunder Rosa with? You know, if I don't book her with a good opponent, she might hear about this. I might get an angry message. She pops up in our live chats sometimes. I don't want Rosa coming in here and watching me book her in a terrible match. Thunder Rosa one-on-one. Wow, Jesus Christ. Rosa. Rosa. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Rosa. I have failed you. Thunder Rosa against Mole Lady. Jillian Hall. Look at that thing. Look at that thing on her face. Oh, my God. Didn't the boogeyman eat that thing off her face? Anyway. So that's the ladies. Now we move on to tag team. Because we do have a brand new tag team, Be the Booker. I debuted only a few weeks ago. We've got a lot of teams in here too. Over 160 teams. And we begin with Kaz and Enzo. Look at this, Big Cass and Enzo Amore. How you doing? Looks like Big Cass is picking some dirt out of his ear. Let's see who they're going to be in the ring with. Kaz and Enzo, who you talk about being over. At their peak, they were also over big time. They're going to be stepping into the ring with the Hart Dynasty. What do you guys think about that? What do you think about that? Enzo and Kaz against the Hart Dynasty. I'm trying to book main events here. I'm trying to book actual main event matches. That ain't no main event. Well, there you go. That is the Be the Booker for tonight. Thunder Rosa against Mole Lady. Boy, she's not going to be very happy about that. She ain't going to be happy about that at all. Best match I booked was Daniel Bryan against Psycho Sid. It's one of those matches when you think about it. That's why I like being Be the Booker, because, or doing Be the Booker, because it makes you think about matches that you never would have expected. How would a match like that have gone? I think Bryan would have carried him to one of the better matches of his career. It's like Shawn Michaels did. JJ Smith with the $5 super chat says, Rosa and Marina Shafir made up, and they posted on Instagram on Rosa's page. Well, that's nice to see. It's nice to see people making up, being friends. It doesn't happen often enough. See? So now that whole controversy is in the past. Well, this was a very newsworthy night, a very busy stream. I am going to be back with you on Friday night. We are going to be live for SmackDown and Rampage, and God only knows what else is going to break between now and then, but I'll save that for the podcast on Sunday. I'm sure that'll be fun. Episode 761 coming up this weekend. It's a perfect time, too. I want all you guys to support on Spreaker, and now we have so much stuff to talk about. This is the longest show I've done, I think, in months on Sunday, this past Sunday. This Sunday coming up is shaping up to be more of the same. So hopefully you will join me live on Friday night. Do not forget also, tomorrow I'm going to be dropping a brand new Sound Off Gamer. My Royal Rumble disgrace. This was my worst performance yet. And my most frustrating. I am not proud of this. I am ashamed. And it could be the end of the road. It could very well be the end of the road for the Solo Monster. But we'll see. We'll see what the future holds for him. You can see for yourself tomorrow what I am talking about. And so again, if you missed it earlier, next Wednesday, no Dynamite live stream. I'm going to be out of town. I'll be doing that next Thursday. And then that weekend is Forbidden Door weekend. We got a House of Glory show coming up that weekend. In fact, we have Eddie Kingston on the House of Glory show on the 25th, taking on Jonah in the next round of the House of Glory world title tournament. It's in New York. And Eddie is going to go from New York wrestling Jonah to the trios match that they announced tonight in Chicago at Forbidden Door. So that's going to be a very busy weekend for Eddie Kingston and all of us that weekend. Anyway, be well. Stay safe. Let me go get all caught up. If I missed anything, I'm sure we'll have more to say about the Sasha Banks stuff. If, in fact, it turns out to be true, we'll know more by tomorrow. And I will see you guys. Oh, we got Spicy. Look at this. Look at this guy. He had to drop another one on me here. Han Solo is better than John McClane. I thought that said John McCain for a second. I said, what the hell does Han Solo have to do with John McCain? Don't be slandering the name of John McClane. Die Hard. Greatest Christmas movie ever made. I'll see you guys on Friday night.